Welcome to Crippled System, episode negativity. I'm your host, Jeremy.
Wait, who the fuck promoted you to host?
You were the one that let me intro. You didn't give me any rules.
Negative tea? Is that like iced tea?
Negativity is what I said.
Nativity?
Nativity, yes. Yeah, it's with episode of nativity. It's the Christmas episode.
Yeah, I'm the donkey.
Yay. Oh,
I get to be the Christmas starfish.
Brian's second octopus.
If I don't speak, I'm not here.
Aren't we on camera this week?
Second octopus.
We are live on camera.
That's what I kind of figured.
It all fell apart.
Hello in TV land.
Indeed.
We don't pander to them.
Do we not?
This is an audio podcast first.
Are they not there? I haven't been
No, we're supposed to pander to the live people to encourage other people to watch us live.
That was the point. Yeah, but we want to still make it a legible audio podcast.
You forget that I haven't been on with video in months, but I've recorded the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's all a whole new world.
This is a whole new world
for me. I haven't been on the podcast in like 4 episodes.
Something like that, yeah.
So I have... Oh, yeah, Andy's back.
Yeah, Andy's back.
Andy's back. I forgot Andy was back.
There's a guy in my beard with a beard to the right.
I was going to say, there's been a guy with a beard in that seat every time I've come over.
Raylene's binging Ink Master, because every once in a while she gets another one of those reality show things and binges it, and she just finished a season where a guy who looks like you won.
I know who it is. Yeah. He's got a red beard.
Yeah. It hasn't gone white like yours does. But apart from that, he looked like you.
I have two stories. One, due to your story you told me last week, you know, the Martin thing, I got to tell a lot of my coworkers were very well versed in what I had done years ago. I had the same job I had 11 years ago. I've been in the same place forever. So I got to go around all my coworkers who knew me for quite a long time and retell the story. So basically, last Tuesday, my first 4 hours was just talking about that story for 4 hours of my day. So
anybody that once the video was up, you needed to stop telling people the story and just say, "Hey, you need to see this video," and then skip to 45:30 and watch their reaction.
It's pretty funny. And then second, I need to start a secondary blog that just tracks my failures in Fallout survival mode. Because they're many, inconsistent, and nonstop. Like, my successes happen. Like, I played 40 minutes today, and I died, and I wasn't able to save in those 40 minutes.
So it
all went away. I made the Diamond City, and I was trying to go to a place, and I realized all I was going to do was die. So I was trying to make it back all the way up to Sanctuary.
Oh, geez.
And I could not find a place to save the fucking game anywhere, but I could find, like, everything was chasing me. I was running away from, like, everything. I killed some raiders here and there, but then, like, some mutants were trying to kill me, and I got swarmed by, like, 5 feral ghouls, so I ran into a building, which was luckily empty. Then I had to flee. Feral ghouls are terrifying when they can kill you, like, in a hit, and there's, like, 5 chasing you, and you have, like, you know, all
Why
I have
can
is...
they kill you in, like, a hit? Is
it's survival mode.
It's survival. They do so much more damage. Everything
I didn't realize things damage was
it's
boosted,
insane.
Too.
So I was able to survive that. Then I made it. Then I crouched, turned a corner. I heard a ding, ding, ding. I'm like, that's probably a mine. Then I exploded. And there went 45 minutes of my life.
That's why you quit Alien Isolation.
Well, Alien Isolation, A, was far between. But that was a game that, like, I'm doing this to myself. Like, this is a choice. I have 100%ed Fallout. I've played it with multiple characters. I've beaten every possible. I've done everything in Fallout, minus the DLCs.
Right.
So I'm purposely experiencing this game in a different way.
Yeah.
But my God, do I die? And I made it to, you know, Diamond City, so I made progress. I'm like, I think I'm level 7. I'm 6 or 7. I've never actually dinged and been able to save past that because something always kills me. Well, I make it like 30 minutes, and then I'm like, okay, I haven't saved in a long time. I need to find a goddamn building with a bed I can sleep in.
So you can sleep in beds that aren't in settlements?
Yeah, correct. And then you just catch diseases.
If you sleep in a bed, you're okay, but sleeping mats, like, if you sleep in, like, a sleeping bag, you will probably get a disease, but you're like, well,
and drinking
fine.
Water out in the water.
Yeah, every time I find water in a puddle, I'm drinking out of it. I kill a mole rat, I eat it right away. I mean, I'm constantly just... And my companions get taken out. Like, I turn a corner and there's a scorpion, and I literally shit myself in me. And my character shit himself. And I sprinted, and my companion died. And I'm like, well, fuck that guy. And, like, in the game, they don't get back up. They basically stay down until you stimpack them. Eventually, they'll go
in
back to your base.
Mode, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, well, so it's insanely ridiculous. Like, I think your melee character is going to be the most painful experience of your life until you. Your goal to victory is never stop taking drugs.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be on Buff Out and Jet and Psycho 100% of the time.
You need Psycho to make a Jet and Psycho Buff are the two greatest things.
You're going to have to be, once you get enough materials in your home base, you're going to have to make the factories and just have people, like, manufacture drugs. You're going to need, like, a Walter White drug factory.
Have you heard about the expansion?
What about it?
One of the new DLCs for Fallout?
Well, there's like four or five of them.
Yeah. Well, one of the new ones that are coming out is basically allow you to be a raider.
Nice.
Well, there's one. I don't know if that's
actually, that was announced at E3.
I could live stream that Torp, but it's basically me literally crouching around a corner, looking around, seeing a guy shooting him, then running away because his friend came, hiding for a while, crying to myself, getting out a shotgun, turning around, and getting killed by a feral ghoul. That is like an hour on repeat for and me going, why?
Well, what we need to do is then like give that footage to Andy, and Andy can splice it down to like the funniest 20 minutes and then upload it.
And then we could put it with that clown music then. Too.
Yeah. Well, see, because I wanted to do a series of me playing games smashed, like we did Fallout, except Andy would have to edit it down.
Yeah, that Fallout one was you playing. Like, I just fast forwarded through like an hour, and then
the first hour I was too drunk to realize I was on mute. So for the first hour, and then finally, like Travis and somebody else were like, "He's being real quiet," and I'm like, "Oh, I'm on mute."
Yeah, I've been talking to you guys the whole time.
Oh, I had been, and it was gold, Jerry, gold.
Yeah, so Fallout Survival Mode is amazing, but it's difficult. And I knew going, like I said, I don't play games like Dark Souls because from the ground up they're difficult, and that's the point. Sure. But at least like Fallout, I love it, and I beat it enough times. Like sure. I said, so I'm just trying to experience it in a different way. And every bullet and bullet weight, they have weight to bullets now.
Have weight?
Yeah, and your companions can carry less. Like I took the strong
survival
back
mode is a giant fuck you.
Apparently,
like, list something that would be terrible, and the answer is yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's why you can't even really run a gun character if bullets have weight.
You can't just have 5,000 of every ammo, and when you pick up a random shotgun, it's like, well, I guess I'm using shotguns for a while.
I'm always switching out what I got on me, and I'm moving around. Yeah.
When you're going on a mission, you're like, this mission, I'm bringing this one gun, and it's ammo. I don't have a backup piece.
I'll usually take
ammo,
two guns.
Maybe two, like a pistol or a rifle. But yeah, you don't just carry 50 different ammos and four different guns.
Well, because like my character...
Like mini nukes carry weigh like 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Like you get fuck all.
Like the thing is, my character, because he wasn't a melee character, had like no strength. And so like even without bullets having weight, I could barely wear armor and carry a gun.
I have the strong back perk mainly because I'm taking perks just to survive, not perks to make my character better. Like what can make me live another 5 minutes? I'll take that perk. That's all I can think about right now is the next 10 minutes of my character's life.
And I heard that they kind of fucked cannibalism over specifically because of how advantageous it would be.
Okay.
But they fucked it over in a way that I think is amazing because what I haven't played it yet. Just because I went on my trip and everything. But apparently with cannibalism, the more you eat food, the more you eat, you know,
people,
the more Soylent Green you indulge in, the less other foods help. And so you eventually do nothing but eat people, and you just, like, every 10 seconds, you're like, I need more food. And so you just become this unstoppable, just Wendigo who does nothing but eat and eat and eat.
Yeah.
Which sounds great.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's fun. Like I don't know. It might take me my life to finish this.
It might.
And I want to do the one thing that makes me sad is that one DLC is about robots, and you can like robot. There's a robot perk now where you can do things, but the DLC added you can customize your robot companions and give them gear and all sorts of things. Nice. But you have to have a high intelligence. And my character only has a moderate intelligence. So I'm gonna have to spend like 5 levels to get my intelligence up to get just to be able to do that DLC. I mean that's like 20 levels from now, so that's like literally probably 7 months.
Right.
From this day. So it's, you know, future Brian problem. Maybe I'll live stream some of it. It'll be, I mean, to me, it's exceptionally boring and tedious and depressing, but maybe that'll be fun for someone else just to watch Brian. Brian daily fails. But
welcome to Crippled System, episode 165.
There we go.
That's 165. That's
remember,
what negativity
last
is.
Last week was 163,
I don't,
according to you.
I don't remember the numbers ever.
Fair.
So Andy's back. How's your trip? Where were you?
I went to Lock and Load. And then spent a week at my mom's place. Ooh. And that was about it.
Nice. Yeah.
Spent a lot of time hanging out with Charles Foster III.
Yep.
And my one-day Lock and Load experience. Because I don't know if it was discussed about this, too. It was basically, Lock and Load was just a gathering of players until Saturday night. And then Lock and Load started when we all got our shit.
Yeah, you could all play Mark III then.
Yeah.
Was there less people playing at the various events then?
Not really. Honestly, the Masters qualifier, that my heat that I was in, which was on Friday, that was, which I went 1-3 at.
Good job, Andy.
Yeah. That heat, I think, had 105 players in it.
Okay.
And then I think the second heat still had well over 70. So I think
that's a little bit less than last year, but it's still pretty high.
Yeah, for
I expected all the tournaments to be just empty.
It's
like tiny. I really did.
I think everybody wanted to go for the last tour.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why I didn't go to Daikon this last weekend, because it's, I mean, Mark III is out now, and I literally spent 16 hours playing Mark III games over the weekend, where I could have been playing Mark II games, but why would I do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the pre-measuring thing is just so good. I've had nothing but good things about that. There have been times where I've decided I'm going to go on to like an assassination run, and I'm like, let's just make sure I can. No. Oh, God, no. And then I don't do that, and I do something smarter.
I'm excited, and I've played about 10 games now. I've not seen it take a ton of time for most players. Some players are a little bit too measure crazy.
Those are the same people that used to sit in the tank for 25 minutes. Yeah, let's be honest. Like it's a similar problem to sitting in the tank. You can measure everything on the table because you can't figure out what to do, just like you can sit staring at the table because you can't figure out what you can do.
I think it may be daunting for newer players. It might be easier for newer players to adjust to the game that way with pre-measuring, but I think it'll be more of a time sink for them as they learn the game.
Yeah.
Going in there, I mean, basically, like I've said before, is we've been pre-measuring since we started the game. Just weird math.
Yeah, like we're doing like Pythagorean's theorem like all over the table. But
measure, make control area range.
Well, you know, zones were certain sizes. So you're using them to do measurement, and you had to.
I will say, as someone who plays a shooting army, like it is amazing when I can just be like, I'm going to move every member in this unit to exactly 12 inches from their target. Done. Like it doesn't even take me that much effort, because I'm like, okay, measure the 12 for this guy. Excellent. I'll put this guy about there. This guy about there. Playing get to the against, fourth guy, and I recheck, and it's just glorious.
Playing against ranged, it's very nice to move my entire army 12.001 inches away from you.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's just as nice.
You can deny me the aim, but I have Deadeye, so I don't care anymore.
Well, with one caster,
are there other casters?
Right.
It is interesting, but I don't know what to say. I lost my train of thought. It happens.
It does.
It does.
That does happen.
So how was your trip, Andy? What else did you do? Lock and Load. You were gone for a couple weeks.
You were gone for a
while. Yep. I went to Lock and Load, and then for some odd reason, instead of flying down to Eugene to meet my mom, I took a bus down to Eugene, which was like a six-hour bus trip.
Ugh. I can think of Eugene Levy.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see Eugene Levy at all, or his eyebrows, but I got to experience a lot of like firsts for me on this trip. I went to a Whole Foods in
Portland. You've never been to a Whole Foods?
I went to a Whole Foods in Portland.
You think Andy has been to a Whole Foods?
I don't exactly have a girlish figure, and I've been to
Whole
Foods.
I'm not talking about figure. I'm talking about like...
the facial hair?
I'm a dirty biker.
He's a dirty biker. Like, he goes and he buys a Tombstone pizza and some Cheetos, and he's happy.
Yeah.
I mean, Katie does that too.
He's not going to buy $10 water that has an asparagus spear in a mason jar.
Yeah, I suppose not.
Yeah, so I went to the Whole Foods, and this was in the middle of the bus trip. Because it was in Portland, and I
put not only Whole Foods, a Whole Foods, Foods in Portland.
Yes,
where Whole Foods was, you know, born.
I just wanted like a small snack. So after wandering in Whole Foods for like 20 minutes, I finally got like, oh, there's some beef jerky. I'll have some. It wasn't beef jerky. It was a beef stick.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So I got that, bought it.
You mean it was organic, artisanal, all-natural, grass-fed beef steak?
Yes. And it tasted like ass. It was one of the worst beef sticks I've ever had in my life.
You had to take out a mortgage to buy it.
I would have... it wasn't that expensive, but it was just... I would have taken like a rotten Slim Jim over that thing.
I don't know why, but I just love any gas station's beef jerky they have by the counter. Like that's always great. It's always high quality. Yeah, just, you know, if someone's touched it 1,000 times, it has a million germs on it. But
that's
just
how you know it's good.
That's where the flavor comes from.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, if it could survive other people touching it, it's good.
It's got to be good. Yeah.
That's how
that works.
You have to eat just enough food out of a gas station to keep your immune system going.
Correct.
It's just, you know, it's like my children just eat dirt. As adults, we got to just eat gas station food.
Food's like dirt.
Yeah. Well, you got me into those tostada things.
Right? Oh, those tostadas are amazing.
I never had those until you.
Like the roller grill, the like little like tortilla. Oh.
I avoided them until Jeremy started grabbing them.
We were on a trip and I grabbed like the two for one of those things. And Brian looked at me like, what are you doing?
Those rollers that are like next to the hot dogs that I never buy because they look terrifying.
They're amazing.
It's basically just it's crispy steak and cheese.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I always thought there'd be like a million things in there. It's just meat, cheese, and deep cheese.
Some of them are just meat. Some of them have a breakfast version,
yeah,
which is the same thing, and inside it is just a sausage link, basically. Yep. Like, it's amazing. I had a college roommate that introduced me to them, and now whenever I go on a road trip like that, like I stop and I get those, and like I've converted Brian, I've gotten Katie to start eating them. Like, they're delicious.
Yeah, they are surprisingly good. And even like if we go to Iowa quite a bit, the come and goes there have really good ones. That's where you get your high quality food. High quality
roller food.
That's a traveler tip for anyone going through Iowa. Go to your local come and go and get some tostadas, because you're going to be amazed.
I don't even think they're called
tostadas. They're not tostadas. They're like tostitos.
Tornadoes.
Well, they're like weird.
Yeah, but a lot of the gas stations.
The ones at PDQ are tornadoes.
A lot of the ones you see actually around the country, a lot of them are called tornadoes.
Yeah.
Like, clearly that company.
Is that what happens out of your ass then afterwards?
No. Like, they
you
don't
had
even,
me at meat tornado.
They don't, yeah. even, they don't even like destroy you intestinally.
Yeah,
which is
I was surprised the first time.
Because you would think they would.
Sometimes the breakfast one, the sausage one, it's basically the sausage with like a gallon of syrup someone shoved in there, yep. And then it's still deep fried.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm going to go get some.
Okay. I recommend that decision.
So what else did you do? Your first Whole Foods, what else?
Yeah, my first Whole Foods. I can go over like a ton of like firsts I did. I ate a ton of food that I normally don't eat. I just, like when I was up in Seattle, I had a gyro. I've never had
gyros.
Oh my
god, gyros are fucking delicious.
They are.
Never had.
They look disgusting. I've never had one either.
Oh my god.
Here's the reason.
You
why.
Could put that sauce on horse shit, and I would be eat tasty. Horse shit. Because yep. Tzatziki sauce.
Tzatziki sauce is delicious.
Is that the white sauce? Nathan.
Yeah. Okay. That's tzatziki sauce. Nathan.
Thank you.
So here's the reason. Here's the reason why I never touched Greek food. It was my mom made Greek food, and which my father and I had coined. Awful, full, awful. And it was actually the worst in the world. So I never touched any Greek food past that point because I just didn't.
When I was at Denver, we went to Greek Fest and we just ate like 50 billion pounds of gyros and whatever the pork version of that is. I forget.
Yeah, I forget.
And we just ate all that shit. And then they have these things that have some weird name that are basically just. Deep fried little donuts with honey on them, and it starts with an L. We call them looky loos, but
something. Yeah,
Something.
I've had it too. Yeah.
And the best part of that is the only entertainment they had was people doing the standard Greek dancing that's like river dancing, but occasionally they jump. But the stage was such that the front row could see them, but it wasn't up high enough. So if you were in the second row or back, you could only see the people from the waist up, which defeats the entire purpose. Because we just saw them kind of gently moving their shoulders because we couldn't see them. And occasionally they'd just go up a little bit and then their shoulders would move a little more. I was like, this is fucking pointless. And I ate 7 gyros.
I only had only one, but this one was just big, fucking huge. I also had what they called Greek fries, which was that sauce
fries,
and then they had like some cheese with it too, or something, like some feta or something like that. Yeah. But the fries were amazing too.
Tzatziki sauce, so good.
Greek food in general, delicious.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try some someday.
You should eat a gyro. You probably now.
But I thought gyros had like Pizza Pit place right next to Pegasus sells a delicious gyro.
Gyros have the meat. They have lamb. They have tzatziki sauce. Yep. They have onion and tomato, and that's it.
Yeah.
So and fuck the onions and tomato if you want to. It doesn't matter. You don't need it's the lamb and the tzatziki sauce, and you just freebase that and inject it into your eyeballs, and life is good.
It is delicious.
All right. Well, I'll look into that Wednesday.
I didn't have. I think it was dim sum. We had that.
Yeah, that's where you like order a bunch of different things for the table.
Yeah. And we had some
Chinese tapas.
Spoiler alert: there's a really good dim sum place in Madison now.
The one on Grand Canyon Drive where the shitty buffet
used to be the shitty buffet. Yep.
Oh,
I've heard that the only bad thing about that place is that the service is terrible, and the reviews I'll say, we'll just wave at them and shout, and they'll come to your table.
I actually didn't have trouble, but I've only ever been for lunch.
They said that the waiters, but it's by design, like they ignore you. They give your food and they just leave you the fuck alone. And some people are like, they never checked in, and they're like, they're not gonna.
No,
like if you want something, wave your hand.
If they notice your table is completely devoid of food, they will come back and be like, do you want more food?
What's fine? I missed
dim sum.
Right by Pegasus, where the Chinese buffet
used to be.
By the
car wash. So you
I don't know what dim sum means.
It's little Chinese hors d'oeuvres.
So think of it, you ever have pot sticker?
Yeah.
So at least what we ordered
versions of pot stickers and spring rolls.
What we ordered was basically it was pot stickers, and then they had some kind of soup in them as well.
Yep.
And you just dip it in some stuff, and that's it.
If you go to a Chinese restaurant, everything listed in the appetizers section, just that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I went there with Keith, John, just Shazer, Charles Foster. That was awesome.
Well, and Keith and I have a very similar appeal of not liking much food. So if Keith likes it, it's a good sign I would like it.
Yep.
Because Keith and I have a very similar taste.
Dim sum is amazing, but the problem with dim sum is, like, about a third of the things on the menu you would enjoy, and then the other two-thirds of the things on the menu are, like, sometimes really weird shit that's delicious, but, like, not something you would ever order.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But the third that you would order is all delicious, so you can just eat that.
By the way, people in chat are discussing other terms for gas stations.
Well, it's I was just
one guy. Go.
But that's
one guy,
fine.
One guy has gone crazy on his come and go.
My favorite is fuel and fuck off. I want that to be a gas station.
Yeah, it's they're having fun. See, if you were listening, if you were watching us live, you could partake in these amazing lists of ridiculous versions.
Maybe
of it.
We should
you
do.
You could also be mocking me about not knowing what a spoiler
did
is.
Did we do Patreon? We
not yet.
We should do that and then not release an episode for 2 weeks like Muse did.
That is true. They had the big thing on
they
Patreon.
They literally missed two episodes in a row.
Yeah.
Suckers.
No, we're going to start up something with Patreon soon. I just need to sit down, Nathan, and record a video for it.
Before you go to your next first, we're on a food thing, which made me remember a food thing.
Uh-oh.
When I was in Ohio for Origins, there was like a little farmer's market going on. And I always thought a farmer's market was a bunch of farmers selling you like corn on the cob and like a carrot.
Donuts and cheese bread,
I didn't realize. No one's taking me a fucking farmer's
Katie
market.
Katie and I have invited you on multiple occasions.
I'm like, yeah, I don't want to go buy a leaf.
No. Yeah.
Do Katie and I look like we eat leaves?
Oh, I thought you guys were like being like ironic or something about these farmers
they
markets.
They sell delicious donuts and cheese.
And there's like a month ago I mentioned that Raylene and I had gone and gotten cheese bread and Brian was like, what?
Katie
was like,
and I
went, some donuts. He's like, what?
Katie and I went, we got donuts and cinnamon rolls and then all of the things to make tacos when we got home. That was what we bought at the farmer's market.
And I heard, there's this one in St. Church that's really busy, but I haven't really danced, so there's one over by the DMV and kind of there's more west side. There's like a second
I've never been to that one, but he's told me about
it. But it's smaller. The downtown one is like Woodstock and I get sick of it halfway through because it's a whole bunch of people and people suck.
So, I don't actually mind it that much, but...
So I want to go there. I don't know. Is it only on Saturday? Is it Saturdays and Saturdays?
Saturdays.
Maybe next Saturday I have to go.
The one on the square is Saturday. I don't know when the one by the DMV.
But
is.
I didn't. I was. My mind is blown. If I was, I just thought it was like corn and carrots.
Well, to be fair, in a really small town, you are correctly picturing what a farmer's market is. Like Mount Horeb, where Horeb had a farmer's market where there was literally no cheese, no meat, just vegetables.
But there's still one Amish family bringing their donuts or something.
There were
right?
donuts.
Yeah,
there were at least
an Amish family making donuts.
Not where we grew up. There are farmer's market in Mayville. It's
maybe,
just basically all squash.
Maybe that's
and
because that was
potatoes.
A small town. Or super,
the small,
super small
town ones
town.
Are not nearly as cool.
Yeah.
But like in a place like Madison, the one down on the square is kind of amazing.
Like now, when they start pretty early, don't they?
Yeah, you can get down there
six,
crazy early. I think 6 o'clock. Katie and I do not get down there at 6. That's
right.
Not how we roll.
But that's a good way to avoid most of the crowd.
Yes, the crowd's
you can
not
do
bad
that,
until
and
like
then depending on the when you are in the season, because then when it gets really hot or before it starts getting warm enough, it's also. But if it's like a 72 degree nice summer day and you go there at 9, you're fucked. Like
well,
it's just Sardine Town.
It is Sardine Town. Like that's 100% true. But if you're mentally prepared for that in order to have the cheese and the bread and the donuts, then it's not bad. But you need to be aware that that's what you're walking into.
And gotcha. Those days, I wish that I was Cersei at the beginning of the last episode. All I'm saying.
You get all dressed up?
I would just stand and I would look at the Capitol and then things...
That dress she was wearing. I've never seen someone that clothes look that hot before.
Right?
Is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that was an amazing... And I commented like early in the episode. I was like, that's an amazing outfit. And then she did amazing things, and I was like, that's an even more amazing
My
outfit.
Pants were agreeing with you at the time, because they were like, hello.
The opening credits were going, and I just took... I was walking from the kitchen to the couch to sit down, and I literally just let my pants drop halfway from the kitchen to the couch. I'm like, I'm not going to wear pants for this episode. Really, he's like, what, so you can masturbate? I'm like, maybe. Don't judge me. Depends how good the episode is. And then I was passed out on the floor an hour later.
I've seen what you look like. After the episode, you were clearly spent.
I like she left you there.
Yeah, I woke up on the floor of the living room and I was like, what? And I stumbled upstairs. Like, it's hard to take your contacts out when you're drunk. And then I collapsed into bed.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. So back to Andy's journey.
Sorry. You had
a Euro and you had dim sum
and Whole Foods
and then some.
Yeah, Whole Foods was worse though, but
that was pretty good.
I stole that from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh god.
Yeah.
So then at my mom's I helped cook. I cooked my first steak ever.
Oh yeah, I remember. So you put that on the Facebook,
which blows my mind. Like to me, a man, and like you're not like a girly man, like a man who's not cooked steak by the age of, I'm going to be generous here and just say by the age of 30. I'm aware you're over 30, but I'm saying by the age of 30, you should have changed a tire, you should have cooked a steak, and you damn well should have eaten a peanut butter jelly sandwich. And I'm
I've only done one of those three things.
Like what?
Andy doesn't cook his own food. Andy's a prepared food purchasing guy.
But
making your own steak is so good.
Going to Chili's is way easier.
So much more expensive.
Chili's steak is really expensive.
I mean, it is.
But I just haven't. I mean, I've cooked a lot of other things.
I'm not saying you've never cooked. The steak thing blows.
But now that you made steak, now you've been making it all the time. Because once you make steak, you realize how good it can be. Now you're making more.
Yeah. I also need to make clam chowder, and I need to see if people like
clam chowder is actually hard to make good. As someone who's lived in Boston and made lots of chowder myself,
say it right.
Chowder.
What's happening?
Chowder.
God damn it.
Is that chowder?
Chowder.
Like that was a good show.
Like it ends with an A. Chowder. Anyway, it's really hard to get right. You wind up with like really brothy thin, which is not what you want. Like it's really hard to get the thick. It's hard to get the thick broth.
My mom
made it. I like thick broth.
And it tastes damn good.
And anyone who makes red clam chowder can go fuck themselves.
It's New England.
No, New England is the white. It's Pacific chowder, they call it. And it's got corn and a red broth, and it can die in a fire.
Yeah, I agree.
Nasty. I like corn, but I don't think that should be in my
Sometimes food. They put corn in clam chowder, and it's okay. But like, it's a main ingredient in the Pacific version.
In what? What?
I went chowder.
Chowder.
I went, say it right, Frenchie. So I went to Cheesecake Factory once. Big mistake. Don't do it. See, Tort got the reference. Good job, Tort. And I got corn chowder, and it was pureed corn with chunks of corn in it. And I'm like, I ate the first couple bites, like, oh, this is delicious. And then like, you know, four bites later, I'm just like, fuck you, corn. I just threw it away. And I hated everything.
There is good corn chowder as well, but it's not as good as clam chowder. I hate you.
Chowder. It's a great episode of The Simpsons.
Okay.
Just saying.
No.
Yes.
No.
It's from season 5, I think.
I believe you. I am not as well versed in Simpsons lore as you.
All right. What happened next, Andy?
I also went onto the coast for a little bit. I posted some pictures of that.
Yep. Those I saw.
Yeah. It's basically the same places I've been to before. I didn't really go into any place new on the shore.
New places are dumb.
Yeah. But hung out with my mom, got annoyed at TDS TV and my HBO Go account.
Actually, I found out that it's an HBO Go problem with consoles.
Yeah. No, it does it on my phone, too.
It should only be the problem. I there's a bug with anytime you have to validate a thing, it happens. If it's on your phone, you're doing something wrong.
No.
But I can talk to you off air about our TDS TV issues with HBO Go. But it's anything on the console is an HBO Go problem.
I wonder what percentage of people cancel their HBO Now /Go account today.
Well, no, that's the thing. I have a coworker who's a year behind in Game of Thrones. I'm like, pay $16, watch the entire season, and cancel it. And you just spend that is a good use of $16.
That's amazing use of $16.
Sign up for HBO Now, and you get the first month for free, and then you cancel it.
And then you cancel it.
Yeah. But the next year when you do it, you just pay you pay the 1 month.
Incorrect, Legionnaires. Sorry. Yeah. Potato ham chowder is the worst chowder. It is. A good corn chowder is better. A good clam chowder is better. Even seafood chowder, which is like clam chowder but has like all of the fish in it, is better.
I just want ham. Can I just have the ham?
Ham is nasty.
Ham is the best thing in the
world.
I need to make you... There's a great ham recipe that Alton Brown did on Good Eats that I need to make.
Well, your last ham you made for us was very good.
Oh, that was that recipe.
That was very good.
Yeah, with like the brown basically sugar
take all the brown sugar in the city,
yes.
Dump it over, bury a ham in it, and then cook it.
Isn't that pretty much Alton Brown's recipe for everything?
Well, because it's four layers, because it's wet, dry, and I don't remember the order, but the wet ones are mustard and... something else, bourbon. Well, I don't know.
I like the sound of that.
Dr. Pepper was what used for the other ham, but then the two dry layers were crushed ginger snaps and brown sugar.
That seems delicious.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Seems pretty good. Sorry, right we keep crack. Cutting Andy off.
No, that's fine.
We keep getting put down rabbit
trails. That's how this podcast
that's
goes.
How we There's, do.
we'll bring up one thing and then we'll tangent.
That's true.
One thing and then tangent.
Also, seafood chowder is terrible because seafood is terrible. The only seafoods incorrect. I will eat are tuna.
Okay,
the only fish, because I'll eat like lobster and shrimp. Like those. Sure. Are okay.
I had lobster finally, and I was not impressed. I was like, "This is
bad." Lobster is bad.
I had it at the. It was a good, decent lobster. It was your company's lobster.
Yeah,
that was they overcook it there.
All right,
but yes.
Lobster's overrated even when it's good.
All right.
Like, there's a, I forget the exact list, but so, like, some British, like, humorist, like, the, who's the guy with the drapes that gotta go guy? You know, name the fucking British humorist that everybody
John
knows.
Oliver?
No, from, like, the.
Phil
fuck
Nye.
You.
Pee Wee Herman.
What? The famous one. All, not Oliver. It started with an O. Fuck you all. The point is, he made
most of the Oscars?
Yes. He made a list of overrated things, and it was, like, lobster, picnics, and anal sex. Like the three most overrated things.
That's fair. Like, the thing is, lobster is good. If it's cooked right, it can be pretty good, but it still loses out in the comparison to crab legs,
yeah,
which like are crab. A similar food, so crab legs right. are just better.
So selfish.
Crab is much better.
Shellfish, not selfish. Shellfish are okay. Like, you know, lobster and crabs and shrimp and everything. But then fish
don't you
wise,
normally
you never eat something that poops in its own house.
Yeah.
Fish wise, I'll eat tuna.
Okay.
I'll eat something deep fried and covered in 50 gallons of tartar
cod,
sauce.
Catfish.
Cod. Deep fried cod.
So I'll do fish fry because it's holding tartar sauce. Sure. I'll do tuna. And then I already forgot the third thing because I'm trying to remember who that humorist was.
Trout?
No. I don't remember.
I will eat almost anything that comes from a lake.
I
ocean.
Ruined my own story.
Oh, you did. Afraid not. I will eat almost anything that comes from like a lake, a river, or the sea. Like, I just love almost all seafood. The one exception is I love sushi, but I had like squid sushi. Not good.
Oscar Wilde!
Good job, Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde!
Yeah. I don't like the cephalopods, I believe. Is that what you call them?
A squid and octopus.
Like squid and octopus. Yeah. I don't like those.
I don't like calamari. Fried calamari is pretty good.
At the Greek Maybe? Fest, there was literally like an 800-year-old Greek lady chopping up squid, and then they were making in the calamari right there. I've never seen fresher squid. Like, it was alive before that bitch got to it, and it was amazing.
That does seem really
good. She actually murdered it.
Yeah! Like, yeah. They're just in the tub. She's like, all right, stay.
It was walking down the street. It was on its way to the store. She's like, no, come with me. Like, I'm just going shopping.
Too late. Boris Johnson. John Cleese. I'm glad people are helping.
It was Oscar Wilde. Whose last words supposedly were either those curtains go or I do.
And then he went.
That was the joke.
Oh, right.
Good job. Now try to remember what the third version of fish I would eat is.
I don't know.
Andy, next
salmon?
Next part of your story.
Is it salmon? Because salmon's delicious.
Calm down, people. Interrupt in a minute.
Tuna and fish fries.
I'm almost done.
All right.
Well, actually, I'm probably not done.
Are you?
But anyway. So then I went to go visit my grandmother, who's still living by herself. She's 96 years old.
Impressive.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then I traveled back to Seattle to take my flight from Seattle to...
She was rather old when she got you then.
The grandmother.
Oh, grandmother. I just heard mother. My apologies. I literally just heard mother, and I'm like, your mother's 96? That's unusual. Tell me more.
Correct. So she got me when she was 50?
It seemed unusual, which is why I was bringing it up. But now that I know it's your grandmother, it's less unusual.
Yes.
Sorry.
My first with my grandmother is I had my first experience with somebody who has like a little bit of dementia.
That's tough.
It wasn't that bad. She was pretty alert most of the time. She didn't freak out that I was sleeping on the couch because we stayed overnight there because I had to take the bus back.
Sure.
But she did ask, because my cousin normally stays with my grandma to make sure she takes her pills and that. Sure. My mom was sleeping in my cousin's room, and she was like, who's sleeping over there? My grandma was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's your daughter. That's my mom.
Oh, that's too bad.
But no, she's pretty good with her faculties about her. She gets walks around still, so she got out of colon cancer surgery as well.
Well,
she's
good.
Had other surgeries recently.
Good that she survived it, not that she had it.
Correct. Right,
no, just to clarify.
Yeah. And then on my last day in Seattle, I've been to this restaurant before with Keith, another company. I've never had pho.
Pho.
Pho, whatever.
It's pho.
But when you say it that way, it sounds like...
Right, but it's called pho. You can't correct somebody to the wrong thing because you think the right thing sounds dumb. It does
sound dumb.
Okay, but yeah, you don't know what you're talking about, Vietnam. I'm just gonna rename your traditional food.
But yes, it is delicious.
I
plus then you can have restaurants that are called the fucking, and it's always funny to see the fucking in a strip mall.
There was one called Forever.
See? Forever. That's good too.
But no, the thing is though, I've been to that restaurant last year with them and I just ordered something completely. Oh,
I remember we went because I went with you guys that day. Yeah, yeah.
It was that one right by the game store there.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been to the one on Odana Road here? The Saigon Noodle.
Probably have. I never ordered what I was supposed to order there.
The one, I like Saigon Noodle and they're good, but I actually like the one right over by your guys' work better. There's one in the back behind. Oh, God. What's the place that you get the unlimited, go up and make your own stir fry?
Oscar Wilde.
Hoo-hot.
Pray not.
It's like behind the Hoo-hot, like most of the way down. It's like right next to, I guess it's now called Mr. Brews instead of Brews Brothers. There's a pho place there.
Why is it not Brews Brothers anymore? We should go
there. They had to change their name because they went national. And I forget which state it was, but it was like Arizona or something. There was already a Brews Brothers restaurant.
It's kind of like Melio's.
And so when they went national, they had to change the name in order to not have a copyright conflict.
Gotcha.
But yeah, they're going national now. There's one in Verona. I love Mr. Bruce.
I remember when I talked to
them. They went national from Madison to Verona.
Well, no. They also went national. But
well, they went. They have like a ton of them all
over.
Yeah,
they're all over the place now.
When I met with the vice president there, he was over at the Verona store for a little bit. And we talked, and he actually gave me his card and stuff. And he's like, yeah, we got... Card.
Oh,
Jesus. Well, clean your ears.
That just seemed rather generous.
But yeah, he was talking that they got some down in Illinois, some in, up here too.
There was a big newspaper article about it. That was where I saw it. I read the newspaper article, but...
Tord asked me if I eat sushi, and I'm going to take this as an advantage to educate people. I think I've had this discussion before on air, so I won't.
Know sushi's a rice.
Huh?
The rice thing?
Yeah. Okay, never mind.
You don't like rice? What?
Sushi isn't raw fish. Sushi refers to the vinegared rice. Sashimi is raw fish, and I like the... Yeah, that's all.
And also nigiri, which is the...
Whoa, you cannot say that on air.
You can, actually, which is like sashimi, but without the rice. It's just the fish.
Yeah, that's sashimi.
The nigiri is just the sliced fish on a bed of rice.
That's
whatever.
Sushi.
I have to edit this episode to leap these out now.
Sushi's in the roll form.
Yeah.
But anyway, sushi, nigiri, and sashimi are all delicious. Neville Chamberlain's Faux King Roller Tornadoes. That's amazing.
So, on the Something Awful forums, there is a cosplay photo thread that I frequent. No, there's some cool costumes and stuff on there. There's a really good King Jellybean, which is really disturbing because the picture is of him like saying hello to like a little boy. And you're like, oh my God, that's so delightfully terrible. But somebody went on a giant rant. There's a well-known cosplayer whose name is Jessica like Negri or something that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the person thought that her name was Jessica Negri and thought there was like a stage name and thought it was super racist that she had taken this name. Like she thought it was the equivalent of like a Japanese person taking the name Hot Dog as their stage name. And he went on this giant fucking rant about cultural appropriation and everything like that. And it was hilarious.
Turns out
it's just her name, and it wasn't Negri at all anyway.
Yeah.
He just can't spell or read.
I mean, obviously.
Wow.
Or think.
Yeah. Good times. Yeah. I remember there was something else that happened, too, that was horrible, but I can't remember it right now.
Well, now we can spend the next 15 minutes talking about the UK and
the best thing about that was the next day all the people who convinced them to leave were like, actually we can't do any of the stuff we promised, sorry.
did you see the John Oliver, obviously?
Yeah,
I saw it beforehand.
Well, basically like the two most Google terms after that is like, what is the EU?
You should have Googled that a week ago, buddy.
Correct.
I don't actually have a problem with the Brexit. I think if I lived in Britain, I would be irritated about being in the EU, and I can understand how people could vote against their own self-interest, possibly financially, to get out of the EU and blah, 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 blah. But what's interesting to me from an American perspective is, A, the pound took a giant shit on itself. It was down like 11% the first day, and I think it's still dropping. And I'm curious to see if the euro will crash.
The best thing about Brexit... The absolute funniest bullshit thing was when Scotland wanted to leave, and they're like, we're going to leave, and Britain's just like, well, if you leave us, you won't be in the EU anymore. And Scotland's like, okay, we'll stay with you. And then Britain's like, psych, we're out of the EU. Go fuck yourself, Scotland.
Well, they're just, yeah.
So now they're thinking about breaking off again anyway.
Right.
Just so that they can be in the EU.
And the only depressing thing to me, and I don't know why it is, and this is a thing in every single country, but everyone really hates immigrants. Like, that's such a driving force to everyone in every country.
Well, it's so easy to villainize immigrants as, like, political capital.
But
like,
only after my grandparents. They were good immigrants.
That's the thing. It's always
immigrants
now
are terrible, but my family was
okay. My family was fine. Yeah. Because it's current immigrants that are stealing your jobs and your children and your money.
Yeah.
Or germs. Well,
immigrants from several generations ago were good, hardworking
people.
And
you go back and you just watch it. You can go back and
watch
history.
I'm a good Irish person, and so I hate immigrants coming into America and stealing their jobs and everything.
Yeah, right?
Oh, wait.
Wait.
But even in Britain, they're having that whole thing in other countries. It's just amazing. It's just it's fascinating because it's every country has that hatred of other people who come there.
It's scary that the Brexit, besides money, was also brought about by immigration as well. I mean, people being scared of immigration.
Yeah.
It scares me that could possibly set a precedent in our country.
What are the likelihood that we are so frightened of foreigners that one of the two major political parties gets a blatant racist as their... I did see... It's probably shit that didn't happen, but there was a great anecdote running up to the Brexit thing where somebody's talking about how they were like on a train or at a restaurant or something. This one lady was talking to her child in non-English.
Yeah.
And this British guy's like, "You're in England! Speak British! You know, speak English!" And somebody else is like, "Actually, you're in Wales, and that's Welsh."
Yeah, I read that. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I read that one too. I don't know if it's true, but
and that's our lead up to Mark 3.
Yeah,
I was like, surprise.
We're all super positive in Mark 3. Keep listening to our podcast, please.
We're very positive.
I've never felt so much like a retarded little brother as when I decided not to engage with the Forumites when they were saying how negative and terrible I am. And then both Nathan and Brian were like, "Don't pick on my little brother. He's nice and smart and kind. And love him."
Whoa. We never said you were
smart. Not that. That was an extreme. I'm like,
do not put your lying whore words in our mouth.
Because everyone's... And the thing is, we had a Saturday-Sunday kind of bring-and-battle play day at our game store. Mm-hmm. Each day had over 20 people. Probably 35 different people showed up in 2 days.
Yep.
8 hours a day. People were having a ton of blast. Everyone's having fun.
Agreed.
I used to go to Forum. Nathan has already left this forum. I recently have the same forum you left because of just, like, the internet. You find these, like, just negative people who just can't stop being negative. I think when we had a little negativity, but I think our complaints were over, like, minor little things, not over the game. And even it wasn't even negative. It was just, like, not understanding some things, I think, in some ways.
Well, and there are some, like, legitimate things, and like I
you
will
can,
say,
you can complain about specifics. Complain about that specifics. Doesn't mean you're like, "This is the worst. I hate everything."
Right, yeah. And I dislike the fact that they're like, okay, so just to use an example that's all over the forums today specifically, I think it's bullshit that if you play by the rules in a tournament tomorrow, you cannot charge a knockdown model successfully. That's dumb. Obviously, it's a find and replace error. Obviously, they're going to fix it. I really hope it's in the errata that they promised to come out with in 2 days.
I think in reality, any TO will let you still do those.
Any TO is going to walk over and you're going to be like, "No, it's the rules." And the TO is going to smack you in the face and say, "Don't be an idiot." And he's going to let the charge happen.
And as I play games, I'm starting to see what other factions' power plays are.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool because it's neat phase. Like, I don't even know, like, 6 months from now, we'll know which of those factions may be causing too much of a problem with their power plays. Sure. But right now, it's just you're just learning each fact, like Cater and their snipers, and you know
the three. What is it? They have 4 3 damage snipers they can
possibly
bring.
Five.
Even. And one of those guys says you can't heal.
Yeah.
So they just do 12 damage, and they're just like, "And by the way, you can't heal."
It. So shield Shield Guard has been like a major game
saver.
Don't
bring beasts against them.
Or you can do it to jacks.
Yeah. Don't bring beasts or jacks against them.
Don't bring beasts or jacks. Yeah. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So it's okay. But other factions have other neat little things.
They
I'm just playing against different factions, always seeing what each faction's thing is now, and it's kind of fun still to like discover those things. And I see everyone mostly playing lists that are solo on support because everyone's trying to do their thing.
Yep.
So we're gonna have a few months of everyone doing their thing, and then we're gonna have this little phase where everyone starts scaling back a little bit and start adding in all these counters that kind of gate, whatever is top, whatever rises to the top.
Yeah, because Brian and I were talking earlier today. I was like, I can't figure out how to flip any support other than Arcanists, because I'm willing to take the sacrifice of playing 6 points down to take these miserable, terrible.
Ooh, why do you get 2 point character models for your faction? My faction, everything is like I have 1 3-point model. Everything is 4 and up, and those Arcanists are amazing. My 4-point thing is questionably. I might pay 3 form if I was like really desperate. And my 3-point, I'm like okay.
Anyway,
and you have these amazing than, 2 points.
Other
son
those,
of a bitch.
Other than those 6 point. Terrible 3 2-point models. Like, I bring almost no support. And everybody's talking about how you have to have shield guard. I've now played, like, 6 games in Mark III. I have played with 1 shield guard one of those games, and he didn't actually trigger once. Like, maybe it's just because of the way I'm playing, because I'm tending to play gunlines, and Rhett has answers to stealth now. So I'm like, oh, Eris, how about she just dies? I think she should just die and never shoot him.
Yeah, and where I am shield guarding everything.
Whereas other factions don't have that option, and I get that.
Have you played against Keith's Haley 3 list yet?
Not yet.
So Haley 3 can go fuck herself. Like, yeah, I had to put on a happy face. I'm like, yeah. Keith, I love you, and I'm enjoying spending time with you, but I want to smash all your models with a hammer right now.
The ARM 24 all-day Centurion makes me want to kill someone,
that's
by the way.
That's fine. No, you know, it's fine.
Smoke but wall. It's really good.
It's really good. Centurions are really fucking good, but the fucking smoke wall. Like,
yeah.
And the thing is, like, even once you get past the smoke wall, like...
Then you have tough def 15 models.
The +2 defense to his entire army.
Yep.
-2 defense to your entire army.
Yeah.
And you can't see anything in the first place. It's all really bad.
Yeah.
And see, that is why I'm like, one of my lists is going to be having 2 extollers in it, just so I can be shooting AoEs through that. And only certain models can. Even those AoEs aren't going to do that much damage to some of that stuff.
Well, those AoEs, if they're on set. By the way, I played my first game against an Eridus Sentinel.
Yeah.
That guy's legit.
Yeah.
I at least have splatter boards. I'll have to buy some splatter boards to just lob shit into there. Cloud. Splatter boards have alchemical masks. So they can see through the clouds and just lob auto death out of there. So that's the only thing I have. But oh, my fucking God.
And it's weird. It's
miserable.
And what's kind of interesting is, like, as you play more factions, like, Andy has, like, you can shoot a bunch of four-inch fire templates. I think Cater has some 4-inch fire templates. And so does Menoth. Menoth has its, like, sunbursts are these 4-inch fire.
Oh,
so certain factions.
The Menoth weapon creatures.
And it's like. Like my fact, so sometimes you just need to do those kind of effects to get other people. Mm-hmm. That gets around immune to blasts and all sorts of things. And I'm enjoying my score and range game quite a bit. I'm throwing cannoneers 4-inch blasts, our sentinels poison extra damage. But it's like, man, I wish I had like one. I guess, and I do have incendiary, so I can do. So that's kind of my like fire templates. But it's interesting you have to kind of find ways to make sure you can get through.
And Rhett literally doesn't have any fire templates, but we have lots of other really good.
Yeah,
tools.
You got other ways to get around stuff. So it's fun to kind of see these lists develop, and I'm already, and also not only does Haley have the walls, you're gonna see one of the Cater
Castles, Zirkova 1.
So you're gonna have to start thinking about, okay, if I'm going to tournaments, I need to deal with cloud walls, so I need to have something.
Yeah,
and I can deal with, like, in that particular one, because I was playing pigs, like, it was all about doing 10-inch sprays targeting my own guy who was in the cloud.
Yeah.
But when they're all defense 17 behind there, it's like, oh, just fuck me.
So you don't have just a unit of strike force that can just, like, deadeye and then ignore the clouds and then ignore the buff and then just kill them all? You don't have that?
No, I don't.
Too bad.
And it's going to be fun.
I like Strike Force, though, because they all die to Prime Axioms.
They do.
Because I just walk up and drop out an explodey AoE guy, and then he charges, and then all those things die.
Yeah.
And that never gets old in tournaments. When there's all these Strike Force huddled up, and I just go, they're all dead now.
Yeah.
Bad players huddle Strike Force. Strike Force should always be maximum distance away from each other.
Yeah,
the scariest thing in the world is to be near another Strike Force member.
I mean, the explosion is like 5 inches across.
Right. Yeah, you'll still catch like 3.
Yeah.
But it's better than losing the unit.
Your mom's better than using
like. I'm now that I've played 10 games, I've gotten like probably 60-70% of scoring on the table, which is pretty nice.
That's nice. That's more than I've gotten.
And it's like, you know what? Bronzeback still kills shit pretty good.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
And their leadership ability is so good because you just start when every Titan that activates within its command just gets a pull fury off it, and if it's her in this new edition, that's amazing.
It's not when I haven't read the detail. It's not when the Bronzeback activates. It's when the Titan
when the other Titans finish turn. When they finish their turn, they pull one off
within what's its
command? 7 inches.
7.
But your Bronzeback's kind of in the middle of things.
Yeah, no, that seems super legit.
I mean, and Tiberian's a goddamn monster. Yep. He's always been still. Yeah. I played Karn. He's fine. I think he'll probably only fit with me in a couple lists, but he's definitely still.
Tibbers feels like he's going to be an almost every list kind
of
beast.
My challenge is some of my heavies that I love are also shield guards, but some of the shield guards, like Alton and stuff, I don't want them to shield guard it. And so people are shooting. So I need like a brute. I need shield guards to follow my shield guards around.
Can you still pass like shield guard chain things? Like, I'll shield guard you, buddy. I'll shield guard you, buddy.
I don't.
Can you still do that? I haven't like.
I don't know if you can like.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Because the new model is directly hit.
Directly hit.
And
okay.
So
if you're, if you're willing to spend all the shield guards.
Yeah. Which with the only time I've done that many is either with the 14 Vanguard list because they're all shield guards, or similarly.
Do you have to put out tokens to mark down which one's a shield guard?
If you get too many of them,
Father Lucant, all of his jacks are shield
guards. And you're probably going to see it with warders.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also love Sturm and Drang, and I need to play them. I did not play them last Wednesday, but they look super sexy. I bought two more Razor Boars.
Nice.
Well, because the tray fits 28, and I only had 26, so I bought another pair of Razor Boars. And 28 you can buy in Mark III.
I got two Afreeti Scouts.
They're super sexy.
They're amazing with their shafts, man.
I've heard that people talk about River Raiders with Helga because of her feet turn, but like they have to hit things to slam them, and they're terrible.
I purchased the last heavy rifle team, apparently available anywhere this afternoon, and I was just so excited because both of our local stores are sold out, Privateer is sold out, the distributors are sold out. What the hell is Jay's store called? It's not called Chain
Attack. Discount Games
Inc. Discount Games Inc. is sold out. I had to scour the internet for other sources for heavy rifle teams.
Because they're really good now.
Yeah.
So the other thing, though, too, is I've been playing exclusively with a Colossal. In all my Mark II games, or Mark III
Earthbreaker.
Games. Yeah, my Earthbreaker. And yeah, he definitely lost a step, in a sense, not having everything of his shit boosted, but he gets shit done still.
What's nice about him, too, in the new meta is people don't have Colossals in every list anymore. So instead of having a Colossal Antle in every list, like there's going to be times I'm going to sit down and be like, shit, I didn't really think about them bringing a Colossal.
Well, War Machine, if you have... I took on people that have like five jacks, and if you have a Colossal, you're just... Because the power-up, if you have less of them, it's almost the reverse problem with War in Hordes from last time with the Gargantuans. So you're just going to see less.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, I haven't figured out a list where I want to play the Hyperion yet.
Yeah.
If I owned a Hypnos, there's a couple lists he just slid into.
Your Earthbreaker could instead be 20 Gun Bunnies. Those things are fucking absurd.
It could be 9.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It could be 9 Gun Bunnies. I would take 5 Sprays and 4 Hand Cannons.
To be perfectly honest, wouldn't be able to do the damage that I would want it to do. And actually, I took on a Kator Force... This is the first time I ever beat Butcher 3 with my Durgan list. All Butcher 3 has to do it back in Mark 2, just I camp armor, and I will never die.
Yeah, playing against some of those high camp casters now is a whole different ballgame.
Correct. So
it's easier and harder at the same time. It's really a completely different scenario.
Yep. So like in that game, he had 4 heavies. He had Ruin and 2 Juggies and Beast 09. And with the Earthbreaker, I was just able to just keep them knocked down. Eris was hitting them with disruption and just kept them out of the game. And I was actually, for some odd reason, I was able to keep an away game from Butcher.
It's been interesting with Rhett, and there are other factions I realize don't have as much knockdown as we do, but like I'm playing a game where I'm pretty much just assuming that every time I knock someone down, that's just like, and you lose power up, and you lose power up. And you lose power up. Mm-hmm. Like, now if you want to do anything, you have to feed them, and they have a max focus of 2.
Well, and I played Murgle 2 in a game, and I blinded all the jacks.
Yeah.
And the casters, and he shook it all, but I mean, but now he lost all the power up, and then his caster had a shake, so then when you handed it out, you just didn't have enough to do things.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Like,
still, even though it was all shaken, it was still really slowed down the game. And then Wrong Eye and Snapjaw are a goddamn
tear. I do not want to play against them.
I'm having fucking fun with those models, because you have the Submerge, so fuck your guns, fuck your magic, and by the way, now I'm in your face, and I got some goddamn Starcross going on.
Yeah.
And they could do a good amount of damage.
And Starcross is 6 on him?
8-inch range.
8.
Yeah, and they're just charging India. And then usually the only time I get them that whenever I have Wrong Eye that high, when Wrong Eye is far enough for Starcross to matter, I'm also having.
I mean, Snapjaw's murdering things.
Well, he's killing things and clearing a path. I mean, because Wrong Eye will be on no fury when he is done. So I mean, you can only attack him melee. So on top of that, I'm probably having some sort of feat going off or something. I mean, I'm obviously not just throwing them away and doing that. I'm timing that with some sort of other terrible thing at the same time, and it's been really good.
There's a few lists I need to play against in Mark III. Like a few things I just haven't seen against me yet. Wrong Eye and Snapjaw is high on my list of things I need to play into. And just kind of feel my way around.
I think you are going to... Are you still going to have a virus? But you have virus 2. I think virus 2 is
going to be... Virus 2 probably answers it. I have come up with 3 virus... Well, 4, but one of them I retired without actually like writing it down because I decided I didn't like it. 3 virus 2 lists that all seem 100% legit in the new...
As a scoring player, I don't know if I expect to see more virus 2 or Ossian coming my way. I imagine it would be...
That'll be your 2 list. pairing, probably.
But I mean,
a common Rhett pairing.
But even if it's not a common, if it's one of those two and something else, I imagine I'll always see that over the other casters.
I think there's...
Occasionally Ron.
I actually think Helena is going to get played into Scorn a lot because of her battle group mobility spell, whatever it's called.
While you're looking, did you play a game against Deadpool?
I did not.
You did not? You were called out.
I forgot about that. I actually have to go get something.
Rhythm of War. All of her war decks get 3-inch reposition. So, like...
No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, they do.
Well, no, they don't.
They get 3-inch end of turn reposition.
Okay. Well, that's a critical difference.
I suppose it is.
You know, reposition allows them to get out of the way of things, you know... That...
I'm thinking her with guns, though. Like, Gunjacks. Fair. Is going to be really good into Scorn. Because she's also got the ability to move things and then hand of destruction to like let them actually do real work with their guns. I think she could be a really good Scorn answer. The problem is I can't find a way to pair her well with Ossian, which is what I would.
I've only faced her once, and it was a loser named Dan who was playing her, so she wasn't that much of a challenge.
So you weren't that impressed?
I don't know if I won or lost the game, to be honest. I think I won the game, but it was ridiculous. I think that's a turn. That's when I was trying to go two, and I just...
Yeah, so like I need to put her on the table. I'm planning to play her with a really heavy Jack list and see how that works.
Yay!
I didn't get one.
Well, you weren't called out.
Apparently not.
Where's mine? He called me.
Look, he spelled my name right with the second N. The true German superfluous extra N.
And he was at the...
Oh, well, then I have one that's autographed from Tom Guan too. if I can like bifurcate this that way, like
I don't
peel the two layers of
good
paper
luck
apart.
With that.
Or just Tom Guan just doesn't get one.
Yeah, you can just put it right there.
Well, I'll add another Womp. It'll be Tom Guam, and he doesn't exist.
That's true.
Boom.
That's fun.
Yeah, one Billy. Of these times I need to make make Lock and Load.
Billy.
Maybe next year.
What? Oh, he's not here now.
Oh, okay.
He went back to Travis.
Oh, sad face.
My other side is Andy Padel.
But yes, you are right. The Virus 2 will also be a good drop into Scorn, more than likely. And
yeah.
What you kind of like, Ossian does not have game against what you're likely to run in your Wrong Eye Snapjaw list.
I've been running my one to rush list is basically 4 Titans and a Despoiler in like one unit. It's having 5 big guys on the field has been pretty effective.
And that list, the problem is that list, I don't know the Virus 2 can handle, but I think Helena might have game against.
So the game officially comes out in a couple days now.
Tomorrow.
Do you think the fucking.
Wait, Wednesday.
Theme for
Yeah, I know you're right, Wednesday.
Theme Forces is...
No, Theme Forces is going to be like 6 months.
It's in December. Is when
6 months is a command book. We might not see Theme Forces for 6 months after that.
No, they have Theme Forces 6 months. That's what the advertisement thing had, December 2016.
It said December 16 command book.
I just need Thornfall and Blindwater rules. That's all I need.
You know, there aren't. You just play minions.
On the bright side, though, did you notice that they recently patched War Room 2? And you can put Gorax's on Arcadius now?
Did they now? I saw that was on the list.
You know, I don't think Zadesh, my minion warlock, my lesser warlock, mm-hmm. Who must have a beast mm-hmm. to be legal, doesn't have an add beast button to him. So I can't give him a beast in War Room.
That's somewhat problematic.
So that's a challenge.
You should bug report that.
Damn it, Brian White. He has my thing.
Brian White has your thing.
One thing that's weird in my faction, so no one, the problem with playing Scorn right now is not people talk to. There's Trevor, but me and Trevor don't talk.
No.
Although I talk a little bit with Trevor now.
Didn't you guys accidentally agree on something?
In my opinion, Trevor is looking at things and he's evaluating them and giving them a chance and then talking about them. And that's all I want him to do.
There you go.
Sometimes I think he jumps the gun a little bit too eager on opinions, and that's where I usually stand. I know that to anybody, not just Trevor. But I mean, if someone's like,
right.
I just looked at that one thing for a second and I hate it, I'm like, well, fuck you and you're an idiot. I guess that's my response to anybody.
That's your response to anybody, regardless of what they say.
Yeah, well, true.
But no, hello, fuck you, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of right.
Trevor's been
playing a lot. I mean, he did say something. One thing he said that was funny, he's like, I stopped going to the forums because they're kind of idiots, but I like the Facebook group. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, Facebook forum people, you're idiots too. You're the same caliber of idiots as the forum. It's just a different.
In fact, you're usually the same idiot.
You're the new fresh idiot. It's like Five Figures was cool, but now they're idiots again.
At least with the Facebook groups, their actual name is attached to the bullshit that they spread.
Yeah, it is. It is nice that way, but and they're not bad people. But I mean, they're not special. They're not any better than the forums. But I do. So it's been his opinions on scoring have been kind of meshed with mine a little bit, and not everything, but pretty good.
Yeah,
it's like I want Theme Force because I think I played a list on Sunday with the Immortals. And Immortals lost a +2 around AG. They have to, but they can spend a soul for the +2.
Ugh.
But to spend a soul, you must first lose parts of the unit. So you're running up the field much slower than you used to run. and then you have to take casualties before your abilities trigger.
It's like,
yeah. So I won the game, and they were still very powerful. I'm hoping like one of the themes for Scorn will give them souls to start the game off.
Those things, I know there's going to be a Blindwater and a Thornfall theme course. Mm-hmm. Those are definitely going to be theme courses. Yeah, definitely. But like, and then against Keith on Wednesday, I'm like, you know, since we know those are going to exist, you know, can I just play with the Thornfall advantage? Because obviously Thornfall's staying. But then I thought, I'm like, well, actually, they're not going to have the Thornfall benefit will not be the same benefit, no. Almost certainly, because half the units just got AD.
Yeah, so why would they need
that? So that doesn't seem like it would be their benefit anymore. No. So if they got a benefit, it's going to be something different, but I don't know what it would be, but it's just, it's annoying.
The Cephalix benefit, theirs is completely different than what it was previously.
Yeah. Yeah, so for the next 6 months, you know, well, like, for right now, while I don't own Gators, I'm 100% playing what I know will be a theme force, just with no benefit.
I think, this is my guess, but I think, so in 6 months from now, we're going to start seeing the books, and I thought it was command books first, and then the theme force books. But either let's say I'm wrong, and let's say it's best.
They're still not all coming out at once.
Correct. So let's say in 6 months we start seeing theme force books. They said a theme force book is going to come out. It's going to have X amount of theme force, like a scoring theme force book, mm-hmm. is going to come out. It'll have X amount of theme forces, and then over the next 4 months, all the models for that, any new model. I thought they
said they were going to try it within 2 months of the theme.
Well, two months. So within,
but
two,
still, not right away.
So within two, but still, within 2 months of a book, you're going to see these models come out, which is cool. But that means if Scorn comes in January, that means it's going to be a year of books coming out and a whole year of waiting.
Yeah. And like the thing is,
which is, I mean, it is what it is.
It's not that Rhett's in a bad place right now, but if we just assume Rhett gets the last book because they got the old first one, and there'd be some symmetry there, and I'd be okay with them making that decision. Like in a lot of ways, if the theme forces are just even slightly overpowered, like even just a little bit overpowered, then Rhett's going to be so far behind the curve by the time they get their book, and that's my concern. And maybe they won't be overpowered, but they might be.
Well, there'll be interest. I think they're going to be smart looking at what they've done in some of the examples. It's like, take a bunch of this, get a free solo. So I kind of like that. At least they're not
saying unit X is one minus a point cost. Because if they do that, then...
But the cool thing is, Theme Force books are going to be driving, for the next year at least, they're going to drive some new miles, which is pretty cool too. And I like the idea that here's a book, and within 2 months, everything for the book is out. That's amazing. I do too. That's amazing.
It's a really good marketing move.
But it's like, unfortunately, because we're impatient, this culture now, we're impatient. We're the internet people. We have no tolerance to wait a month. It's unacceptable. So I think they're going to probably, if they make a bunch of new miles, it's going to take some time. So it'll be. Well,
you and I got very different impressions on that. We've talked about this a little bit off air, but just to put it on air, like, your impression is that they will be brand new models. And my impression is, for the most part, it will be more like the Hail Hydra list for Rhett, where it's an alternate card for an Arcanist that if you play this theme force, a model you already own has an alternate
card. And that's cool too, but they did say new models would be released.
And I think there will be some of that as well.
But I like alternate models that are official. Like I don't like league models because I don't like anything I can only play for 2 weeks and advantages. I don't want those rules in my head. It's going to screw me up later in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brain can't handle multiple things.
My brain can't even handle, like, remember when half my models do. Like, I'm forgetting so many things my models can do as I play Mark III games. Not like, in a bad, like, I'm not upset about it, but, like, I go look at a card the next turn, I'm like, oh, I could have done three more things with that model. That would have been good.
Yeah. And I'm curious what a theme, and I wonder how many theme forces we're going to see per book. Like, that's going to, and if it's a per book, how small are these books going to be? Are they just going to be, like, more PDF books? I don't know anyone who's that excited for getting just faction books again.
Yeah.
To be honest.
With because Worm it's going to be fluff at this point.
Yeah. Well, no. And fluff is fluff or the novels.
Oh, the fluff.
Jeez. Yeah. I don't know. Some people will like that. But, I mean, yeah. I'm never buying a book again. I have War Room.
Yeah. I don't know why I would.
And so, I mean, if they're going to do like a whole year of books coming out that are just the book collection of miles together, well, I got War Room on the day the Mark III came out. Those books have no value to me.
Yeah, I may buy cards because I like marking my damage on cards, but I'm actually like getting used to the way you track damage in War Room. And I'll be honest, I'm beginning to see why so many of my opponents were playing War Room to track. It's terrible for my opponent, and it's amazing for me. I can glance down and immediately see which systems are out, like whether I need to repair any jacks this turn, and they have jack all information.
They shouldn't.
I agree.
No, I mean, it's their fault. Like, any key model that like I'm trying, usually Colossal, Warcasters and Colossals. If you have either of those models or both of those, I'm adding them to my list as soon as we start our game. That's okay, why so the first me, question
I'm going to work here and see how this works because I haven't tried that.
Yeah, while you're in a fight, go ahead and start a battle.
Yep.
And then you can now, this is number two, you should be able to add card. Okay. If you go into the menu, I think this is your menu.
Is that my menu?
Two.
No.
Nope. There's a way to add cards.
Okay, I'm looking. You keep talking.
And so, yeah, so you go into the, no, I think that's where you want to go. No, go to
that's
where
my collection. This is looking at cards.
Just, yeah, go to a card. Great for the audio. Go to a fucking card and fucking click on it. The point is you can add a card to your list.
Oh, yeah. I can just add I can add Caliban.
You add it to your list. And so now as you attack Caliban, you can mark the damage.
Now
and
I did damage to Caliban.
That's why the first question I always ask people is like, what's the actual name of your caster? Especially like Butcher. There's three different Butchers. And I want to make sure I add the right one to my list. Because Colossals and Warcasters, I will always add to my list first thing so that I can track damage to them.
So if I don't do my it for every war using war room.
Yes,
they have this available.
That is true.
What I would like to do if I no, I'm using war, really cool, and I'm using war room more. If I'm fighting and you can look someone at their spells
like and shit, yeah, and like, I can just be like,
sorry, let me finish this. Like the other thing, yeah, look at their spells and shit, and then more importantly, that way when you're thinking, you're like, so what's his defense? What's his armor? You can just look at the card,
yeah,
or be a douche and ask him. So he's
that works too. That works. But anyway, so what were you gonna say?
What I would like to be able to do, if I have war, and I'm using War Room more now.
Thank you, Travis.
So let's say I'm in a tournament, and I have War Room, and I'm tracking my stuff, and Jeremy is tracking his stuff. I wish
we could sync via Bluetooth.
You can.
You can.
Not via Bluetooth.
Only via Wi-Fi, and most game stores don't want to give out their Wi-Fi passwords.
Oh, Pegasus gave me theirs.
Well, you can't sync via Bluetooth.
Only via Wi-Fi.
Oh.
I brought that up because all of my opponents on Saturday were like, we should be syncing because we want to be learning about each other's stuff, and like everything's new in Mark III. And I asked around because I couldn't figure out how to do it, and they're like, oh, yeah, you can only do that if you have Wi-Fi. And Dan pointed out the reason for that is because Bluetooth connectivity between devices that are on different OSs is a holy nightmare. And so if I have an iPad and you have a Droid tablet, us connecting via Bluetooth is a holy nightmare, but the connection via Wi-Fi is very well defined.
Isn't it an unholy nightmare?
I don't know.
Because the holy nightmare just seems
just like paradoxical. Well, I guess maybe if you're just innately evil, then
all these angels and priests.
No! Trumpets and white clouds. Oh!
And what Nathan suggested is pretty cool for like one character, but what you're seeing, I'm seeing...
I don't want to be tracking damage. And when I'm fighting crusaders.
Someone... Exactly. Right. When I'm fighting someone's eight crusaders, and luckily our local who has eight crusaders, he actually has cards he puts in front of them.
Yeah. Right. And that's great, but there's no onus on my opponent to do that. There's no onus on me to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't need... like. I have names on the back of my Griffin, so I'm going to have to get Griffin cards because I didn't put numbers or letters. I put names because I named them after all the Firefly characters. But like, other than my Griffin spam list, I can just track it in the war room. I don't need
them. Well, if they're alphabetical, you can remember.
They're not really.
Well, what do you mean they're not really?
I mean they are, but like... That would be an annoying way to do it. If they're alphabetical, like A, B, C, D, E, F, it'd be
no,
different.
But I mean, like, you know, Jane comes before Wash in the alphabet.
That's true.
So if you have Jane, Malcolm, and Wash as your three, then Jane is one, Malcolm is... Okay.
You're doing your Griffin spam wrong.
Wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
Disagree.
You're doing it wrong because you need Peter, you need Lois, you need Stewie, you need Brian, and Chris.
Are those your six?
And Meg.
No.
Meg's
I don't have Meg in
Meg's
there.
An Aspis.
But that would be his six.
Yeah, I guess. I would probably go with Grandpa.
I think I made Malcolm my Imperius.
Have a name?
He has a Grandpa. I can't remember his name.
You know what Imperius loves? Alton Ashley.
Yeah. No, not even a little bit. Like, I have an Aspis in that list, not for my caster. He's just going to hump Imperius up the field in case you're playing Alton Ashley. Like, Aeris, I don't care. I can clear all... I don't care. If you have Alton Ashley, all that Aspis does is follow Imperius around.
The only thing I have a problem about with War Room is for checking damage. If I'm asking my opponent, you know, like, how much damage is on X model, it usually... I mean, it doesn't take very long, but it takes a little bit of time to get there. Yeah. Or if a person does have a spam list, them making... And it happens the same thing if you're marking down on cards.
Yeah.
Making sure you're marking down the right card, you know.
Yeah.
And the
damage dial on War Room is too slow now.
If people don't label... Because, I mean, jacks are A, B, C in War Room, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's like, I never see somebody playing as have A, B, or C in their models. They're like, they just know one's A and they know one's B.
Well, I do on multi-wound, like, heavy infantry units, I do write A, B, C, D, E.
I'm talking about jacks.
So my jacks had names, or my Bs have names. And so this, I mean, it only works when there's like only three or four of them. And even then, sometimes it's disastrous. But when I deploy, the one on my far left will be A. And so I'll have like A, B, C, and D.
Cross in the middle of the game.
So I will avoid doing that, even if it's tactically superior, specifically to make sure I keep track of them.
And that's what terrifies me about War Room. And I will never...
marshalling it.
Yeah. Pulling a marshal is not what I need in my opponents. And
so actually what I'll probably end up doing is I'm going to actually make boxes damage grids.
They did that for his Crusaders.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm making damage grids for my opponent now. Or I'm going to have like a whole list of boxes where if I'm doing damage, I'll write it down at the same time they're writing in there. That way, I, you know.
Yeah, but that's going to be hard because you're going to have literally every chassis.
Yeah, that's a lot
of the chassis are very similar.
Yeah.
From what I noticed.
Well, not every like individual jack, but, you know, chassis. Like the Crusader chassis, there's like three or four jacks to that. But if you're against somebody that has, you know, I mean, there's a lot of factions with a lot of different chassis.
I know. I'm gonna
like Rhett, like the first chassis, the shield chassis, they're all different. Like the Vire chassis are all the same.
But... Look at this fucking idiot in chat who thinks Tinky Winky's the best Teletubby. Poe for life, bitches.
I have no regrets that I don't know what
I'm
you're talking
confused.
About.
Travis is on our chat, but shouldn't he be in a rules form right now fixing everything?
Yeah, Travis, go fix charges.
You know, you don't have time to be like, no, get back.
Charges and gang.
Gang, yeah. Gangs of Texas.
They haven't. There's a rule about the bronze backs. They're checking on. Go finish checking.
What's
that.
What's the bronze back rule?
It says if a Titan finishes a round, it heals. But it's one of those things where it doesn't imply if you have two bronze backs, it heals twice. It's not quite.
Oh, so it's like the Temp Bastion thing.
I mean, I'll probably never have two bronze backs on the table, so I don't care at all.
So I don't know if he's trolling or if he's just as dumb as our average listener is. But non-Euclidean Nick was trying to be helpful and explain what the name of the grandpa and Family Guy is. And he went with Carter Pewter Schmidt. Well, that is Carter, a grandpa.
That is no that Carter Pewter Schmidt is the wrong. That's Lois's father, not Peter's father, which would be a griffin.
Yes.
I'm assuming that's on purpose.
Let's have Travis check that rule. Travis can verify
which extra
spelling.
Griffin is
checking. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I do love, and I don't know if I got this out on air, but since I'm reminded because Travis is talking, I do love the fact that Travis pulled together all of the things that are going to be in the errata last week because it made my life easier on Saturday. I have all the threads that were like, this is going to be in the errata. This is how it works in the errata, regardless of how it's currently written.
Well, and I mean, in case the errata isn't out by Wisconsin Team Championship.
It's supposed to come out Wednesday.
I know it's supposed to, but in case it doesn't, yes, it's nice to have
that. That is also true.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, my point is, like, I'm a little worried if we all go to War Room, which I feel like is the way I'm leaning, is to just go all War Room. If we all go War Room, there is the problem that, A, I can't see my opponent marking. I actually got in a big fight because my opponent, with cards in front of me that he watched me mark, I had a tournament in Chicago where my opponent lost his shit because he insisted that he had tracked in his head how much damage my beast had taken and it should be dead, not have one health left, be contesting the zone. And I told him, you watched me mark it, you told me what to mark, the card's sitting on the table directly behind the model, he has a hitbox left, and the TO came over and sided with my opponent. And I almost flipped the fucking table. Yeah, and I worry that could happen both ways if all of us and our opponents are playing War Room, that, like, I can't watch you track damage, and gamers are not very trusting people.
Yeah.
Like, they're just not.
What would be nice if there was a kind of a log that would take it? If you were going into the live game, it would actually have a log that you could see, like, first attack did the X damage, second attack did the X damage.
The problem is that wouldn't, like, the log would show did 8-5-3, but it wouldn't show whether it should have been 8-6-3.
Right, because they might not have marked the correct amount, which is what he claimed.
So, I've made the mistake in the past when I have cards in front of me and I accidentally if I have a Titan Sentry and I have Tiberian and I take 6 to the 3 and I mark 6 to the 3 on the wrong jack.
Right.
But I usually have the cards kind of near each other, so I look down 2 minutes later and go, I'm like, holy fuck, I marked the wrong card.
Yeah. Right.
But in War Room, a few minutes later, I'm just going to be like, oh, there's a problem here. Now I don't know.
I don't know where this should be. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the worst feeling when you make the mistake and you catch yourself, but I don't know. If War Room's here to stay, it's the way the things, and this has been a problem.
Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not like bashing War Room. I think War Room has some UI issues.
You're just bashing that Chicago TO.
It's not even the TO that I'm pissed with. I'm still upset about my opponent. I'm concerned that we're creating a problem that didn't exist before. Because I was going to buy all the decks, but with the raw number of erratas that are happening, like, it's probably going to be at least a year before I feel ready to buy the decks.
Errata is a plural word already.
I know, but I like to bother you. I'm also going to roll 3 die.
You're not going with the 1 dice?
Nope.
You're going to 3 die?
Nope. I'm going the other way with it.
Fair enough.
Anyway, I'm probably just going to be playing War Room in all my tournaments for a while. And I think a lot of people that didn't used to are going to because of things like the Day One errata.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Look, no, I also solved the problem you were claiming.
Okay.
Fuck my opponent with the earning the war room or whatever.
Sure.
Owning, not earning. So
sure.
The thing is I was going to say I haven't used cards for years and years.
Yeah, you've been playing War Room a lot.
But I use cards every single game.
Because you do both.
I don't touch my cards except that. So I make my lists.
Sure.
I make the decks. Here's list A. Here's list B.
Sure.
And all I do every game is I sit down, I turn on War Room, and I hand my cards to my opponent.
Right, but I'm not planning to buy the cards.
I know, but I'm just saying that was a solution to that problem.
That is a solution. If they're willing to mark the damage. And it's like, here, you track.
Well, that's fine. And if they don't, go fuck them.
Right.
You know, but I gave them the option.
Right.
That's kind of what I plan on doing with damage boxes on my part. I'm not going to do it for like everything, but I mean, like for some like the big jacks or something like that, I want to at least, you know, if it's, yeah.
But yeah, that's what, and that also for rules and stuff. Yeah. Like, because I've always played, like, mercs and minions and whatnot, people are dumb. Yeah. And don't whatever.
It's not a money thing, Travis. So Travis is asking me why wouldn't I just buy the Stitches extra deck? It's not a money problem. It's that until the updated pack exists, I will literally be having a card in front of me that lies.
Yeah.
And whatever it lies about is fine, but at any rate, I just am not planning to buy the decks until things feel a little more stable. I really like that they're changing things and they're willing to adapt on the fly. It just means I'm not interested in buying the decks right now.
I wish they would do this. When they release the errata, don't make it so I have to buy the cards, or make it so I can buy the cards later on. That's fine. I understand what it takes to send something off to printers, get things printed up. It takes months to do something like that for at the scale that they would have to.
Right.
But present me with a PDF with all those cards updated so I can actually take it, print it.
They're never going to do that because then the average player has no reason to buy the update pack.
Also,
people edit them subtly.
Once you get those raw files out there, it's so easy to go into Photoshop and go, oh, this guy's Rat 7 now. And now you have a printed out official card in a sleeve. No, look, he's Rat 7. Yeah. And then you win your tournament and you drive back to your hometown and that asshole looks up later and they realize you cheated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the issue. But they release the errata are available on PDF. So you can put that out there. Just not in beautiful card form.
Right.
But it's there.
It is. And I'm not bashing the system. I'm saying that the system is encouraging me to play with just War Room.
On the bright side, it's annoying Travis.
It is annoying Travis, which is usually not my job. That's usually y'all's job. So I'm getting a little bit of like contact high. I don't usually get to do this. But
I like that you said y'all, but in my head you spelled it wrong.
Why would I spell it wrong? I used to live in Texas.
Two apostrophes.
Yeah.
Two apostrophes. One is after one of the L's. Figure out which one yourself.
Yeah. When are you going to do a Legion Sode?
I do want to do a Legion Sode. Actually,
I have to do updated
Katie told
minions.
Me she would do a Mark III Circle Sode with my Legion Sode, which might just be her drinking while I make fun of Legion. She hasn't decided yet.
I will probably want to do a scoring one, but I need to play at least another 30 games.
I need to do a minion one, but it'll be twice as goddamn long as my pig one was.
Right.
And I know nothing about any of the gators, so it'll basically just me being live on air reading this stuff and trying to decide what'll be good and bad in concept because I've played none of it, and that'll be great.
That will be my
it'll
Legion
still
Sode
be
as well.
It'll still be better than your educated Legion Sode.
That's not true. My Legion Sode was amazing.
I got in my car and drove to Verona to crash your episode because I was so angry at how terrible it was.
I remember I was so sad because I was watching a tune, but I had to like be somewhere and I couldn't like
it was glorious. I enjoyed that so much.
I know Brian doesn't drink, but I would love to have these be drinking games in some way.
I'll get smashed on mine.
I'll have some tea.
Okay.
I'll get some. Okay. I'll bring some. I'll bring
tea for Brian.
We could bring. You could bring some of the alcoholic stuff.
Just bring me 12 iced chai lattes. Eventually, the caffeine.
Oh, that's true. The caffeine. No. I'm gonna bring two liters of Sprite and two of the big bottles of grenadine.
I don't drink soda anymore.
Them on air.
I don't drink soda though anymore.
I know.
Sprite is not soda. Yeah.
It's still soda.
By the way, the correct answer for that question is Shadows of Brimstone.
You don't see that question.
Sorry.
Cheshire Monkey. Listen.
I haven't done this.
Save it for the Zappity Grumbles.
We're going to do Zabba Gobbles soon.
Fine.
Soon. That's the Zappity Grumbles.
Yeah, because we're an hour and a quarter in. Yeah. So we can segue into Zuba Geebies, and that can be one of them.
All right. Well, we'll just do that one first.
You know, Travis thinks we get the rules wrong on time. Maybe if the rules are written easier, we can figure them out.
Boom! Mic drop! Yeah, Travis.
He just disconnected. he's going to the store to buy a gun.
He's an infernal, so Privateer probably gave him the rules months and months ago, and so he had plenty of time to look into them.
Sure, he could have fixed these. Travis is joining the NRA.
It's all Travis's fault. You guys have to.
You're supposed to be his friend.
I am his friend. I love Travis. I am caught in a rad bromance.
It's all Travis's fault that we have a day one errata.
Well, if Travis wasn't such a steamroller apologetic kind of person.
Anyway.
Cheshire Monkey in the forums thread chat room talkers says...
Wow, that was terrible.
Yeah.
And this is from me.
Question for you all. What's your favorite or most tolerable dungeon crawler board game?
The correct answer to that is Shadows of Brimstone.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
What do you, okay, so, right, Nathan, so what counter, is it? What is yours? Argument. What's yours?
Well, I could make Andy feel like a shithead and just say Warhammer Quest.
No.
No. Even he agrees it's Shadows now.
You're going Shadows over Warhammer Quest?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
No, no, because basically all the errata and all the house rules that we did with Warhammer Quest
are in Shadows.
Yeah. So by
Hero Quest, you saw that review I posted, that guy talking about Hero Quest.
God. Oh, that was another thing at Lock and Load. I had everyone quoting that to me.
I don't know. Best thing about HeroQuest is...
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Nothing. Nothing's the best thing about HeroQuest. No. Like, the videos.
HeroQuest is different than Warhammer Quest, so it's yes.
The guy had a good point, though. That gargoyle model is way cooler than that Age of Signar shit they poop out.
The
Sigmarines are the worst.
Sigmarines look the worst, but the rest of the models for that goddamn Silver Tower...
They make some amazing models.
Fucking ballistically beautiful.
Anyway.
But anyway...
Shadows of Brimstone is the answer to the question.
Yes.
And most horrible is Warhammer Quest.
Do you have a counterpoint for something you think is the best?
No. Well, my nostalgia one wants to go Web of Gold. Web of Gold was great. You can't make that face. You don't even know Web of Gold.
So it must not be good.
So the cool thing about Web of Gold is a competitive game where you were a miner and you're exploring this dungeon or whatever to find gold. And you want to get out of the dungeon with the most gold. Okay? Sure. So if you pussied out and left early, but you know, people
press. So a dungeon quest.
But yes, but the villains were spiders that hopped around. It was 3D and they jumped from pillar to pillar and left like web walls that you actually inserted down into the thing.
Okay.
And that would like block you and do your maneuver and you had to break through and the spiders could bite you and shit.
Okay.
But each player controlled one guy and one spider. And so you were jumping around with your spider attacking each other's guys. It was great.
Sounds like a game for children.
It was, and it was fun.
Brian just mentioned Dungeon Quest, and it mentioned probably another one of my favorite Brian moments is we had a Dungeon Quest tournament that happened at some weird board game convention, which Brian walked in, got turned around, found a piece of rope, and then just left the dungeon.
and everybody else died.
And then everyone else died, and so Brian won the tournament. He has a trophy for it. For finding a piece of rope.
Hey, he had the most valuable treasure.
That's amazing. How you do it.
That game is awesome. I do like playing Dungeon Quest.
No, it's shit. It's utter garbage shit.
So, according to Jeremy.
According to you, you said everything is a pile of feces except for Shadows Over Brimstone.
Shadows of Brimstone.
You made a comment about him being too old. He didn't recognize a thing.
Oh, yeah, Web of Gold, sure.
There was a trailer for Westworld yesterday. Like, no one but me and Jeremy knew what Westworld was. Like, what's Westworld? What is that? Some kind of, like, clone, Matrix type thing?
Robots.
I remember hearing about Westworld so many times as a
Yul Brynner as a robot sheriff in a theme park.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like Jurassic Park, except instead of dinosaurs, it's the animatronic Cheech and Chong, Chuck E. Cheese. The animatronic Chuck E. Cheese things come to life and kill everybody.
The best part was Brian was so flabbergasted they never heard of it that he said it's in a national park, not a theme park.
Yeah.
And I was like, Brian, I think you mean a theme park.
No,
he's like, park. Well, maybe, whatever.
Yul Brynner is
children don't know what it is.
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Which anyway. Is about half the age of Crazy Horse.
What's some more Zappities?
So some Zappity Grubble. Now that Will Hahn asks...
Bip!
Wow. That was loud.
Now that you left the EU, is it your turn for a stupid political decision with Trump? I'm going to do my best not to.
No answers.
I saw a tweet where they're like, England just did the stupidest political thing of the year, but America still has a Trump card.
Yeah.
Oh, That is a good joke.
No comments.
We can't answer this next one.
Okay.
You can't?
If it happened this last season, you can't do it. But what was your favorite way someone died on Banshee?
I don't watch Banshee.
Brian, watch it.
Such a...
I think probably my favorite is so far is the prison... whatever
the albino death.
The albino death.
I saw the
fat guy in the fat guy in the RV or the semi.
Okay.
I saw the pilot episode and then I saw one fight scene and that fight scene ended with a hot chick getting her throat torn out by a hood ornament and that was pretty badass.
It's one of the best fights. It's one of the best fights.
She deserved it because she was stupid. She had a ranged weapon and somebody was really injured and so instead of throwing more shit at him, she closed to melee and then she died. Well,
she was mad at him.
So be mad at his corpse after there's eight more accidents.
Yeah, and the problem with that guy is when he takes his glasses off, he becomes invulnerable to everything. Whenever he takes his glasses off, you just have to run away. It is. He goes immune. He Hulk.
Who's that?
That's Burton. Whenever Burton takes his glasses off, becomes further pains immune. He becomes Superman, and he will kill you. His glasses come off, you flee.
Now her plan with all of her throwing weapons against him was to close in and even ambush
him. She ambushed
him, hit him with one, and he's like, oh, I'm really hurt. And she's like, great, I'm going to go close
that
now.
That happened like an episode. She's a pretty major character, and that was like episode 3 where suddenly it just happened. Like it started off with that. You're watching going, my brain can't handle what's just happening. Is this just the beginning? It's just that was it.
Yeah.
And you're like, this shouldn't be happening right now. This is like a season finale type of a fight.
Well, it happened.
That's how every fight that season was. It's so good. Anyway, Banshee's amazing.
Grumble.
Without any qualifiers, what is the best pizza and why?
I know you guys don't agree, but I really like Papa John's.
What?
I was gonna make a political
statement, but I was saying
I'm not being political. I just like their pizza.
it's brand or type?
What is the best pizza and why?
Yeah, it was unclear, so I went
without
with brand.
Without any qualifiers. I'm not sure what
you
mean.
If like, you have and why, that's going to include qualifiers.
Correct.
Don't tell us why you made your decision. Why did you make your decision?
I actually like Domino's thin crust. I like Papa John's thin crust. But I actually like Papa John's. I hate the regular pizza, but I love thin crust. It's weird.
I don't know. It's weird.
Thin crust double pepperoni was my go-to Papa John's when I was in college.
I like less nickel, extra cheese, light sauce.
Just thin crust everything.
And there ain't nothing wrong with a hot and ready. Fuck the haters.
No, hot and ready's are awesome. I actually like the...
I got their $5 lunch special, so that thing could feed 4 people. Yeah, I felt terrible after eating. I ate a quarter of it. I'm like, that is a reasonable size thing that I just ate. And then I ate the second quarter of it, and I'm like, yeah, that is way too much. And then I look down, and I'm like, well, I have to finish this. I have no other answer.
Is that the deep dish?
Yeah, the four special? Slices of deep dish.
Yeah, it's half a pizza.
Yeah, it's half a fucking pizza.
Yeah.
Two fatties or 4 normal people can eat off of $5. Only one of you gets to drink, but 4 of you could eat.
Yeah, no, their deep dish pizza is actually really, really good for, you know, for what it is.
Yeah.
Rocky's deep dish pizza, too. That can feed people for a month.
No. I think, and this is, as a Chicago Rocky's boy, I should say this.
The sausage on their pizza is some of the best sausage in
their
any
crust
pizza.
Is too thick, and they're too greasy, I think.
It's really
but the sausage is
me.
It is really good, but yeah, I like Little Caesars deep dish more than I like Rocky Rococo's deep dish.
All right then.
I'm sorry.
Well, I've never looked those up.
Were you there with me that time? That there's like the one time in Rockies, and there was a guy with his shirt off in the bathroom. It's apparently whatever he was doing required too much effort, and he had to disrobe to help himself get along.
You came back to the booth. So okay, you look so disheveled. You were just like, I thought like something terrible had happened to you because you look so
terrible. Had happened to me.
This was on a previous podcast.
I
don't remember this conversation.
We don't care.
But yeah,
professional podcasting.
God, why was his shirt off?
Anyway,
and that's it for Facebooks.
We got a couple in the live chat. Deadpool Freelance asked how many of us will get games in with it. Lock and Load 2017. Probably not me. It's a very expensive con to go to from the Midwest. Not that it's not fun, but it's very expensive.
I have not figured out what I'm doing next year. It always comes down to, because I'm skipping Gen Con this year, I'm probably going to Gen Con next year, which means I'm probably not doing another Summer Con.
Yeah.
Bang for your buck. Instead of 4 of us paying to come to Lock and Load, you pay to come to Adepticon.
There you go.
And then you can play against all of us.
That is a fact.
That's true. I will be a fact. That's a very efficient answer.
I mean, Chicago is a pretty good
or War Machine Weekend.
Or War Machine Weekend, yeah, probably, which will all that. You can I might actually play War Machine at War Machine
Weekend. I know. I'm currently planning to bring in Miles for War Machine Weekend for the first time in 4 years.
I brought Miles this last year so someone else can use them.
Wait, how are we going to run the board game room then?
Well, I mean, we'll figure it out.
The board game room was just the space in the front of the area. It wasn't even a room.
Yeah, it was not hard.
I much prefer board game rooms to be board game rooms.
So yeah, I talked to Carl a little bit about that afterwards. Yeah.
Making an actual room?
Yeah, and I think we'll need to talk to him again as it gets closer. But
hey, that's right. Talby sent us barbecue sauce. What happened to that barbecue sauce?
It's downstairs.
Good to see it. Oh, okay.
I mean, one of these times for the summer here, we can have a grill out.
Yeah. There you go.
Done. And then we'll do it. We should film the gorilla, too.
Well,
we could live stream it, just walk around with a camera the entire time.
That seems weird, but, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Well, we could, if we grill out, Jeremy is the best place to grill because he has a...
Yeah, I've got a big patio and everything. Like, yeah. We can grill at my place, certainly.
That works.
What board games are must-haves? That's a big question for this group. How about we each just pick one?
No, well, that's not going to work. We should have an episode about that.
We did have a game episode, but we can do another one. We can do it
again. All right, it's too big a question, no offense. Have any of us played
Dark? Hey, that's my fish.
Okay. Have any of us played Dark Deeds? I have not.
Is that a video game or a board game?
I'm assuming since he's the one that asked about board games, it's a board game.
No.
Maybe. I don't think so. I played a lot of new board games at Origins. I don't think I played anything
possible where we could look it up.
Legends?
Tyrants.
Tyrants of Underdark, I like a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Dark Deeds at all.
No, but I'm saying it's a new game I would have played. I'm giving him a new game.
Dark Deeds in it. Yeah. Like your drow.
Full of dark corners for Dark Deeds.
I'm just saying.
Dark Deeds done dirt cheap.
And then Nick asks what the best pizza in roll form is, and my answer would be all of them.
No, I think he's saying the best pizza is in roll
form. Oh, that's not you're right.
There's no question mark.
There's no question mark. It's a statement.
Yeah.
It is.
And Hive Mind says it's a board game by Gaming Gears.
Oh, I've heard about this.
What is it?
It's a
board game from Gaming Gears.
No, but I like
it is by two former GW employees.
Okay. Their board games tend to be good.
Artists from Games Workshop and Andy Chambers, who did a lot of 40K stuff.
Okay.
Like 40K rules?
Mm-hmm.
So it's bad.
Early for 40K rules. Okay.
Mm. I have not played this. That's my
I've seen it. I've heard of it. I have not played it. So.
But yeah, Tyrants of the Underdark was fun.
Yeah, I'll be out next week too.
Very cool. So we're out of, that's all we got? You checked the sources already?
I didn't see anything in Twitter, but you know how fun it is trying to find a conversation in Twitter?
I do know how hard it is to find
Twitter. Twitter is the least deserved success story since PewDiePie.
getting notifications instantly on Twitter, that's fine. Like, I can follow those, but like, I remember there's something on Twitter that I was vaguely interested about. Let me see if I can ever find it.
Well, Twitter also is like, hey, you know, two of your friends like this one random thing, just so you know. I'm like, thanks.
I could care less how much Tim Simpson loves things.
Yeah. Tim Simpson and Chili Winners both like this one website or with one tweet from this one guy about something else completely.
God damn it.
Good to know.
I like it, Tim Simpson, but I don't like everything you like.
Twitter tells us everything you like, Tim.
It does.
You like it. Twitter has given us a personal alert. It sends us a letter in the mail as well as a tweet response
The little newspaper boy from BioShock Infinite comes up and hands you a note. Tim Simpson liked this, sir, and then runs away.
Yeah.
On the topic of that,
my paper boy asked me for $2 all the time.
Wow.
As for a dime.
I don't understand why when I log onto Facebook on my iPad or on my computer, if I'm responding to something that was at some point commented on by Crippled System, I can be like, no, I want to be me and I want to respond. But if I'm on my phone,
I
am Crippled System.
Which is great when multiple of us were telling that you were stupid in a thread. Because I'm like, well, I didn't make that comment, but I'm going to make this comment. And then somebody else make that one. Were those two both Andy? Brian? I know which one was me.
Yeah,
which is a whole bunch of Crippled Systems arguing with Jeremy.
It makes me so mad. And then me responding as Crippled System.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Crix Y, I don't have an answer for you. I don't play them, so I don't care.
To be honest with you, I should make the announcement, too. 20 Crix Steam for Andy. Done. I'm done with it.
Oh, you're done? You dropped it?
Dropped out of 20 Crix Steam.
New rules?
Yeah. It's not because of the rules for the Crix. I think they are a different puzzle that's going to take some time to figure out. When I was trying to make lists, my brain could not handle it. So I went back to doing my Merc stuff.
I've only lost one game in Mark 3. I lost to Cricks.
I've only lost True one story. Game in Mark 3.
To who? What faction?
Keith.
Keith with his AoE 3. Oh, Keith
with the Signar, yeah.
Have you played one game in Mark 3?
That is true.
You're 0-1. Congratulations. Listen,
okay, I played one game and it was against AoE 3.
I'm either 5-5 or 6-4.
That's okay. I didn't think about it. Keith played against Jordan on Saturday and it ruined his whole Saturday.
There's no Mark 3 Iron Grudge yet.
Saturday was ruined?
Jordan got him. Like, Keith didn't declare that models are supposed to be base-to-base. And Jordan just, like, was like, and you're dead. No more caster. On, like, bottom of 2 or something.
Was it models that were supposed to be base to base?
Yeah, so Keith was like, okay, I'll admit you won, but that was dumb. How about if we just push them together and keep playing? And Jordan's like, nope, I won, bye. And then went and got Subway.
What a dick thing to do. Wow. It's not even a tournament.
I know. Wow. Keith was still bitching about it like 2 hours later.
Because I had a thing with
it. I would too. That's pretty dick.
Me and Dan sat down. We put out our random list. I look across the board, look at my mouth, look at his mouth, goes, hold on, pulled my list, put it aside, pulled it out. Like, okay, now we can play a game, because that would have been like, auto lost that game.
Yeah.
It just happened to be like the exact perfect combination of things that would do nothing to me, or I could do nothing to him.
I physically can't decide what to play. I'm too excited about everything in Rhett.
Yeah.
Please, dear God, just pick which list you want to play against. And my opponent's like, I don't know what's good in Rhett. I was like, all of it's good in Rhett. Just roll 2 dice. I beg of you, just random pick a caster. Like, I don't want to. It's like, damn it. I just don't want to decide. I like them all too much.
I do technically have one Gator model I could start fielding.
There you go.
Because I bought the Witch Doc.
Witch Doc
special. Well, the special.
And I have 3 more for you, so.
Yeah, I know.
I have
some. Remember, I'm going to find out last week about my promotion. fucking fuckers.
One more thing I am still sad don't about. Know. One more thing I'm sad about with Legion is that the Witch Doc Croc, the Zombify, became faction.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It's a drag. He was really, really good in Legion.
You still got the new Proteus.
It was. Legit. It's nice that all these factions don't have that nonsense going on.
It is. No, I mean, really I think that change was really good. I think it's a little weird that they didn't do it for Orin Midwinter. Not Orin. Piper. Piper of Ord, whatever.
Rupert?
Rupert. I think it's a little weird Rupert didn't get the treatment and all the other mercs did, but I'm glad that they did it as much as they did.
Is Travis yelling at my management?
I don't know.
He said, stop being indecisive and make a decision. Like, I'm not making a decision.
I think he's yelling at Jeremy for choosing things.
I
assume if Travis is yelling, it's going to be
Jeremy. He's still yelling at me.
You picking your list. Okay, picking my list. Fine then. I support
How
that.
Dare I be excited to play all of Rhett? Yeah. I'm a terrible, horrible person.
I like
person.
To think
You're
that
right,
Travis has been listening to us. There's like 1,000 new rules questions, all repeating the same question.
So what happens if I charge a knockdown model?
What if it's incorporeal?
Yeah. What if it's knockdown and incorporeal?
Whoa.
And stationary. Whoa.
Whoa.
Do I get gang?
Whoa.
If you're on fire, can you charge anything?
Do I get flank? That happens too.
Well, does flank get melee range or engaged?
Oh, I think it's engaged. Curious. I'm gonna check. I got it.
Why would they change that to?
I got this.
Let's do some. Well, he looks. Let's do some recommendations.
I'm just going to drop one more.
Oh, I was just about to kill the cop.
Recommendations. God damn it, Andy.
Hurry up.
Keep going. You guys recommend. I'm looking up
something.
Someone with flank.
I haven't played it yet, but I needed to buy it, and I really, really want to get it, but I haven't gotten it, and I haven't read it. But I'd like to get Total Recall.
Oh, Total Recall.
Yeah. The Rick and Morty game. It was supposed to be out like when I was at. It was supposed to be out at Origins.
Yeah, it was. I could have got it. I was in line with me and Ben.
Son of a bitch.
Ben Lang were in line for this company in both the Rick and Morty card game and then the Mr. Meeses box where you press the button and said, I'm Mr. Meeses. It was like a dare game.
Yeah.
Dare something game. I had them both. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to buy these. I put them down. And they were very limited. There were very few of them. And I'm like, you know what? No one at home likes Rick and Morty, so they wouldn't appreciate this game.
Season 2 is on Hulu now.
You can't even... You're like Mr. Miskix
Mr. Meeses.
Yeah, you can't flank against something that's knocked down or stationary.
Motherfucker!
But I really, really want to get that game, and I hope it's good.
You can never charge Gallows Groves either.
You can never charge Gallows Groves or
stones.
Shifting stones. Stones. Yeah.
The company that makes Rick and Morty game, they have a very good hit or miss record. So that's why. It was only $15, and I was, you know, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to save my money, and I even stood in line. I got to the front of the line. I'm like, nope, I don't want it. I got to have music. Thank God.
Yeah, that's the only issue is Cryptozoic makes they make enough money so they can buy all these licenses. Yeah,
Bad Finder Place.
And then you release bad games based
on it. And then they release bad games. Like, the Bravest Warriors game by them is not very good either.
Did they do that Doctor Who card game that was by...
No, that was a different company.
Okay. But that was the designer of that game is someone who makes amazing games, and that game was shit.
Yeah.
Which was bizarre.
Yes, it was bad.
But yeah,
it was
so cheap. That's my recommendation. That's weird. I went first. I don't understand.
I know. We were throwing things off. Brent? I am going to recommend... I'm going to recommend a video game. I think last week I recommended...
Gone with the Blast Wave? I recommended that.
No, I'm going to recommend Uncharted 4. I mean, not a daring, but I have now... I've played the entire game. I beat it.
You did beat it?
Yep.
How many hours did it take? Because we were talking about that last time.
Oh, yeah, because the game, you can beat it in 6 hours. I think I beat it... I was probably 15 to 20 when I played it. So, but I didn't even try to rush. I just did.
Well,
I did. It was like 22 chapters, so it was quite a while. And some chapters were long.
Is that disc or are you digital?
I don't know. I might be disc. You have if you beat 3, you can borrow 4. But you have to beat 3 and tell me
tell me what the ending is.
Let me borrow your PS4 so I can use...
Wow, Nathan.
Jesus Christ.
What?
You're just yelling about me about blasting ass before. That was me. It was 4. It was
where I was going to be standing, though.
Yeah, you play Uncharted 3. And when
Let me borrow your PS4 so I can play the collection.
No, I'm playing my Fallout. I need to live stream my failures in Fallout. That's going to be the name of my... Failures in Fallout will be the name of my daily... it'll be a 1 hour day of just me dying after 60 minutes and turning it off in rage.
Can't charge a fucking shifting stone.
Uncharted 4 is a fun game. I mean, if you've played an Uncharted
Every Uncharted game, games are masterpieces. And the teaser trailer for Uncharted 4 is one of my favorite trailers ever. Mm. I fucking love that trailer.
It's just them driving around in the Jeep and then the action sequences?
No, slow motion of him diving for the coin how, you know, they all blah, blah, blah. And then it pans around and he's actually diving to rescue his friend. And it's that's amazing.
Correction. You can charge shifting stones because now you get engagement bonuses by engaging a shifting stone.
But yeah, no, so it's
the mobile got changed.
I don't think Travis likes
all right. this.
But no, Uncharted 4 is cool. I mean, the thing I like about Uncharted games is it's got great story, which is why you play them, because Naughty Dog just makes good story-based games. And the
Travis they do pretty so good. Angry.
Anyway, that's my recommendation.
Yeah. Hey, did see Forrest McNeil tweeted he's alive and they're going to make a third season of Review.
Nice. I thought that third season review.
We already knew they were making a third season review, but in character now, Forrest McNeil was tweeting again.
I thought it was
that he's alive and survived.
I thought it was only one episode or two episodes. I thought it was like
I heard it's going to be shortened, but I think from like 10 episodes down to 5 something. I don't think it's just one or
I
two.
I thought it was 10 to 2 or something ridiculously.
I don't know.
But the more the better.
Point is, Forrest McNeil is alive.
That's good.
So, you know.
As he fell off that bridge.
He did. He did. Well, there's that conspiracy theory.
So average rating so far is 7.64 on Board Game Geek for total recall.
But how many votes? It's such a
small. It's low
number. Yeah. So like one guy who works for Cryptozoic rated it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a recommendation?
Review.
Ah. Okay. That was.
I'll recommend Review again.
It's sure. A very important show.
Yes. I think so. Also, season 2 of Rick and Morty is on Hulu now. My brother messaged me. He said, "The next time you don't tell me that season 2 of Rick and Morty is on Hulu, it will be the last." But Brian recommended Review twice, and I recommended Review, and I think it's a show that you look at and you go, "That looks dumb," and you don't watch it, even though we recommended it. I swear to God. We recommend Review. Watch it.
Yeah. I mean, the first episode he reviews cocaine. Yes. The greatest 5 stars. 5 stars are good.
Oh, just fucking everything. Like, you came to the, you know, you're dressed as Batman and soaked in your own urine. It's not my urine.
My favorite part is I started getting Jeff into the show and I made him stay up until like 1 a.m. so we can get up to and past Pancakes, divorce, pancakes.
That episode is
Don't shoot Orange Hulk, he's a good boy. everything. It's fucking great.
Yeah, you can quote a million things in the show.
You know, and he's talked in the past about how much he loves train wreck shows, you know, like Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret and everything, but Review might be my favorite train wreck show.
I don't think it's really, it's a train wreck show, but it's not for like a bad person.
But in season 2, he got 3 do-overs.
He's
terrible! He could cancel 3 things.
And the thing is, you know, it's not just him being destroyed. He destroys everyone. Fucking little person episode. episode, that fire extinguisher is a quarter inch away from him. His dad's home. Like, curse the thoughtless people who hug a fire extinguisher 2 inches too tall for a midget to grab. He's a monster. Blackmail? When his girlfriend later is like, do you need money for us? I'll give you all the money you need. And he gets it sent to prison.
I don't remember season two as much as I remember season one. Oh, he's a
fucking
one.
Monster.
Joins a cult. This will end in blood.
Yeah, blackmail is just so heartbreaking because the only person he knows anything about is his girlfriend. So he goes to blackmail and he's like, I know this thing about you, so you need to give me, like, you know, this much money. She's like, oh, and sure, I'll give you money just because he's his boyfriend. And then, like, you know, the next week he's like, well, you didn't give me the money. And so he just sends her to prison.
What?
Yeah, he just destroys her life to review blackmail.
His own girlfriend?
Well, he had to blackmail somebody. The review said review blackmail. Well, he
got divorced because of the show.
Oh, my God.
The show told him to review divorce, so he got divorced.
He did veto murder.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it was his last veto, so when it came up again.
There's a loophole. They forgot to make a one request, you know, limit. So, yeah, kill someone
they
came
they
up
fixed
twice.
It later for him, but he was already a shit.
He murdered somebody.
What?
You need to watch review!
Oh, my God.
You need to watch review!
I'll go put it on again. It's only a half hour.
It might be on Hulu still.
It probably is.
It probably is.
It is.
And there's an Australian version of it, too, that's different, but also worth watching.
It's fun. The Australian version, it's, yeah.
Like, kill somebody is in the first episode of the Australian version.
Yeah.
And it's great, because he does just murder a guy, and then, like, you know, he's burying the body, and then there's just somebody walking their dog, so he just murders that person, too.
What? Well, yeah. Witness. It's,
yeah, you got to.
I think my favorite part of the show is the intro video because in second season, they have babysitting. And it's just like a little quick clip, you know, like meeting the president just shows him getting shot, tasered by security.
Yeah.
Falling down stairs, it just shows him rolling down. But babysitting is him and a bunch of cops in a field and then him pointing to
one of the cops like, we found something! And they all start like running over another part of the field. Yeah. His review of babysitting is searching for a body. And he gives it like one star.
Yeah. The show also has an amazing amount of subtle callbacks to itself. Like I would always read the AV Club's review of it and they would always catch like 15 callbacks I didn't even catch. It's 15 callbacks to the same episode, also callbacks to the same season, and just really subtle play on words throughout the entire episode that is it's constantly just it's evolved. It's a very evolved comedy level. It's awful.
It's brilliant.
Yeah,
it's awful. Just brilliant. Yeah. Like it's a masterpiece.
Very saddened to hear that it got canceled, but it's
at least getting the third. Because the thing is, it's an Arrested Development style situation where this is a brilliant masterpiece of a show that 7 people watch.
Yeah,
you know. So thank God they're at least giving it a third season. It's an abbreviated one. I don't know if it's 1, 2, or 5 episodes or whatever, but at least it's something.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
My recommendation is super selfish just because Katie and I started recording something for YouTube lately called the Shea Gaming Corner. So go check that out and watch Katie and I review a couple board games. Nathan, we invited to come review, ladies and gentlemen.
I was in a different time zone.
But you were in a different time zone. So that was unfortunate, but that would have been fun. And Brian's going to review Seven Wonders with us. We have to come up with a good game for Andy to come over to review that both Andy and Katie have played, which is problematic. But no. We'll figure something out.
You played Terra Mystica.
Terra Mystica.
Terra Mystica would actually be really good. Together. Yeah, we could totally do that. So anyway, we're gonna try to bring in and other people too probably over time. So far, we've reviewed
Telephone Pictionary.
Or we may not do that one.
It'd just be penises.
Well, we're keeping it PG is the problem.
There's an actual released version of that called Telestrations.
I'm sure, but we have never ever played it where it didn't just degenerate into dicks.
Right, and at some Telestrations point, has cards. Like, you know, you don't just make something up. And sure. So Telestrations is less absurd.
Possibly. But anyway, we're trying to keep that PG. So I don't know that our telephone picture would work.
And depending on Andy's editing skills, we might have our own board game thing
that would be cool.
Supposed to be up 17 months ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about it for a long time. And Katie and I were like, well, the two of us could just do it and edit it and put it up. So we did.
Yeah.
So we've done two. And we have a third one that we've recorded but haven't edited yet, which is Ladies and Gentlemen. But we put up... oh, crap. Now I'm going to forget.
Time's Up.
Time's Up and Code Names. So both of those are up. And I don't know if you actually watched me do Code Names, but I'm sure I mispronounced Vlada's name because I said Vlada Chivatl. Is that even close?
I have no idea. I've never risked it. I've never risked it. I've all never right. risked it.
Yeah.
There's actually a thread on Board Game Geek that describes how to say his name. So it is a thing.
So anyway, so we've been doing that. I've been talking to Muse to get those up on Muse on Minis. We haven't figured that out yet because John's on vacation.
And oh, then, I can.
Oh, you can just upload those for us? So yeah. we can do that.
And then, if you wanted them to be under the Crippled System, we could put them.
That's what we couldn't decide because they're PG and Crippled System super not. So we couldn't decide if we wanted them to be in the same.
We encompass other things.
I'm more worried about somebody watching this and being like, oh, this is good PG fun. I'm going to go watch Crippled System.
I'm not worried that someone's going to watch your video and like it.
Well, there's that too, I suppose.
I will make sure that Seven Letters is PG-13.
He's just going to be not wearing pants.
Well, we stand at my table, so he could not wear pants and it wouldn't be obvious.
Everything that's under Crippled System right now is pretty much already labeled as explicit.
We could do that. And then what I'm also going to try to do is try to find a way to link it from Board Game Geek, which I haven't. Like, we're doing party games, which Board Game Geek doesn't care as much about.
Sure, they do.
Do they?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So I may go try and put those on there.
You can either, if you want to use it for our submission for Crippled System, I think we have a username. Otherwise, you can
actually just create one. Yeah, Board Game Geek's easy.
You can create your own user and then just go into there and you can submit it in for videos.
I have an account. What I'll probably do is create a new account that's called Che Gaming Corner rather than Jeremy or Valiant Forminator or whatever I did. So, but anyway, so that's been exciting. We've been recording that. We took a break last week. Like we recorded one each week for 3 weeks and we took a week break because we were waiting for Brian and Brian couldn't record last week. So
I was somewhere.
You were.
Final announcement. It looks like that the Girls Podcast is actually going to be moving into its own podcast through
the what now?
The Girls Podcast.
Oh, the All Girls. Sweet.
So it's
going to have a name.
Yeah. We're probably going to end up using Lost Aspect.
Lost Aspect. Okay.
Say if you let Celeste pick the name, it's going to be incredibly raunchy.
Yes, correct. That is a fact. So I figured
the Lost Dildo of the Dildo
Clitoris is
Shay Gaming Corner, not Shaming Corner.
That would be much better.
Shaming Corner works for me.
I've been there a lot.
That's Jeremy's fetish.
All right. On that note,
I have one last announcement. The Kickstarter survey will be up tonight.
Oh, I was supposed to, because people have been asking me.
I know. It'll be up tonight. I was out of town, and then with Martin, shut up. Fuck you. It'll be up tonight.
This is for WITC?
So it'll be up tomorrow when this gets posted.
I didn't actually kickstart that. I feel like a bad person.
But. You still,
what?
It's second last announcement, which is you can still kickstart it, because go to the page, and you'll see all the reward levels, and then just... PayPal me that much money and say, hey, this is for that.
Okay.
Because we haven't ordered the prizes yet because the survey's not out.
So. Ah, okay. I did actually pay for my team, which Travis was surprised and excited by.
Yes.
So
you won't be in the survey, obviously, because that you won't be through the Kickstarter. But anybody who still wants to back it and still wants prizes, you still can. Just menstrual system. That's awesome. there we go.
Anyway, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed Crippled System episode 227, probably?
Yes.
Okay.
In base 5.
Oh, my God.
Boom.